want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, let me turn down my radio. Cool echo, though. Echo. 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 Wow, not bad. Oh, I'm sorry that I came on right after your depressed woman was on, your caller. Why was she crying?
She hasn't been able to find someone who's willing to admit that they agree with her, that this war is a ghastly disaster and a put-up job. At the moment, Earth feels very alone and isolated, and she's trying to overcome her alienation. So,
I initially thought that I thought maybe she was depressed because she couldn't guess the secret sound on the Don and Mike show, when in fact it was probably her douchebag hitting the floor.
No. No, actually, what she heard was you, douchebag. What a brilliant guy.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
The rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Shut up! When he came in, he was good. They built tremendous highways and turned, you know, got all the factories going. He looked good at the beginning, but then he went nuts. He went berserk, I guess, and I think even his own generals tried to kill him, didn't they? Everybody in history knows that he did was good at the beginning, but he just went too far.
Now, it's very important that you don't speak. Not a word. I just want you to listen, please. I've heard some rather disturbing news about you.
Really?
Not a word. Rumor has it, I'm to be used as target practice.
Shut up!
Well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
I'm Mantell, and I know Mantell isn't no criminal. I know Mantell don't have to do something petty as go to somebody's house and break in their house and all this. You know, you got witnesses, you got people that says they didn't need him break in and all this, but then nobody ain't paying that no mind. Everybody wants the dirt.
Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
Don, Mike, both of you, idiots.
We're the stars of this piece of shit.
You all need to listen to your lady. You need to say to her, baby, what is it that you want? Or, do you want to do it in the butt? No? Okay, well, let's move on to something else.
Well, I have to talk to you.
I'm very busy.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am sorry. Just listen to me. This is important. I asked Phil to write some patter to the debut of Hancock the Table, but I hardly think you've captured the spirit of fun with this kind of dialogue. I'm sure everyone here loves the old game Hot Potato, but I'll bet you're going to like it even more when I tell you that I just pulled this potato right out of my big fat ass. Here, catch. Then the audience in unison shouts, hey now, Hank, go f*** yourself. I mean, why is this thing even supposed to have one?
Tell him if Sabian's not here in 20 minutes, you die. I don't want to talk to anyone else but Sabian.
If there's Sabian here...
Is anyone listening?
Hey, what happened? Who the f*** you think you're dealing with?
Up to that point, Jerry had concealed his Percodan dependence.
I walk out with Michael, and I collapse in the hallway. And blood came from every opening I had. Eyes, nose, ears, name it. Blood flow like a damn dike opened up. What had happened was that the Percodan was concealing the pain of a grapefruit ulcer. They had me in surgery like in 20 minutes. I was bleeding to death. Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Here they come.
Oh, no. They didn't
go away.
They didn't mind the fact that the weather was bad over Memorial Day. They're responsible for it.
I thought it was a lovely, lovely weekend.
It's from a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Germans can acclimate to any weather. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Memorial Day and all the ships at sea. Hey!
Hey!
They love rain!
Yeah!
I'm Geronimo and Mike O'Mara!
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show, new episode on this Tuesday. Metallica 27-3rd.
Tuesday!
And here's your phone number from the United States of America. 877-365-3636. From Canada.
Canada.
800-636-1067. In D.C., 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz. And,
Shut up!
That's not for you,
bud.
Hey, what happened?
I'm looking for this one right here. Now.
Someone called for a doctor.
Okay, hi.
Hi, so that was your holiday. Mine sucked ass.
Oh,
really?
Sorry.
Well, it was fine, but yeah. Look at it.
I know.
You know, and it's dreary enough. Would somebody please open the blinds?
Yeah.
This is a battle I fight every day here. Please open the blinds, even though it's nearly dark outside because the weather sucks. Please give me a glimmer of hope.
Did they not miss this forecast as well? Again,
did
they not say it was going to be sunny on Sunday?
You guys talk like it's not going to be sunny until maybe Friday.
No, push back to Saturday now.
Yeah, maybe Saturday
now.
And beyond. That's exactly what it is.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah. That's a good job for Lisa. She's good at doing that. I know that I give her a hard time about a lot of stuff. And you know why she's good at that?
Because
that's ladies' work.
What she's doing right now?
Windows?
That's girls' work.
She's doing windows?
I'm kidding.
Somebody's going to get flipped off when that door opens in about 2 seconds.
No, I'm kidding. No, we had a fight with her on Friday.
That fight been resolved and everything?
No.
We all left in a real lather on Friday.
No, here's how the fight was resolved. I just went back and said to our wonderful production staff, have a great weekend. Mm-hmm. And not another word has been mentioned about the fiasco on Friday's show.
Well, you know, sometimes that's as it should be, and I'm glad about
it's
that.
It's in the rearview mirror, like the Memorial Day weekend is. And I know a lot of you listen
Thank
to us
God.
Out west. You know, I mean, in Sacramento, in San Francisco, even Seattle, you had decent weather. I know in Las Vegas, you got like 103 degrees today. Well, F you, because here...
all it does here now is rain. This
Constantly.
Is Seattle, forever.
On the East Coast, do you realize that out of the last 24 days...
Right.
22 days in a row it's rained. And
yeah. 22 out of 24.
And I don't think people would be upset about the weather if the weather people didn't lie to us.
Around here, they are not accustomed to having the responsibility during the summer of being accurate.
Good news for your lawn, though. Doesn't your lawn look great?
Oh, shut up, Rob. Listen, I love you, Rob, but
shut up!
Here's the deal.
Sunny at 75 in Seattle.
Here's the deal. Of course.
Yeah, because this is Seattle now. Naturally.
Here's the deal. When the weather people come on, as they did a week ago, and they give you the seven-day outlook,
right?
They say it's going to rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Ah, but Friday...
Yeah.
We see a clearing on Friday.
It's going to brighten up on Friday. Right.
Saturday is going to be mostly sunny, and I think you're going to be able to salvage Sunday out.
Yeah.
Now,
showers might come back in on Memorial Day.
I have to give my wife credit that she noodled this through as we are watching I don't know, it was Channel 5, whatever the channel was, with the weather liar. And as he's going through each day of the weekend, they've now got the percentage of rain.
Right.
Which is a new toy that they've added. And when it got to Saturday and Sunday, it said 20% chance of rain, yet the graphic above it had the little sunshine, but also the thunderstorm picture.
Yeah, that's their new thing, is the thunderstorm with the, or the cloud cover with the rain coming down and the sun in back of it.
Right.
Now, somebody, whoever invented that graphic ought to be killed.
We're all adults. You know, most of us, some of us
take it.
Some of us still think like children, but most of us are adults.
Some of us still act like children.
With, you know, adult genitalia, and we live adult lives.
Speak for yourself on that one.
We can deal with the fact that it's going to rain for a week.
Or big.
The reason people get pissed off is that we get led into this false sense of security by the weather people.
Right.
Because they're afraid to tell us, ladies and gentlemen, your Memorial Day is effed.
Yeah.
It's going to rain every day. And now what I've heard is, today's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It rained yesterday, all day Monday, of course. And I'm not just talking about, like, rain here and rain there.
Not rains. Like, most of the time it is raining steadily.
We got record rain.
Yes, like indeed. Today, it's been raining steadily most of the day.
We got like 2 inches of rain yesterday. And then I remember last year when I was the lone voice screaming about how I didn't believe in the drought.
I remember that.
Now they're going the other way. Now the graphic they're running on the screen is the overflow amount that we have.
Yeah.
That we're like 16 inches or whatever it is over the amount of rain that we should have.
Yeah.
Here's what they're telling us now, and I'm speaking strictly for people on the East Coast, anywhere from Richmond, the cities we broadcast to, D.C., obviously, Baltimore, Philadelphia,
right,
even as far up as up by Maine. What they're telling you is, it's going to rain Tuesday, it's going to rain Thursday, it's going to rain Friday, maybe Friday.
What about Wednesday?
Wednesday, yes.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Friday.
And by Saturday, there's a chance of sunshine. Now, they've
a chance of showers in the afternoon.
And here's what they also dick you around about, is the temperature. And that's the other reason that people are upset.
Yeah.
And why you have to bear with us from around the country. We do a national show, but unfortunately, we live here. The thing is, they put up there on the forecast what the normal average high is, about 80.
Right.
And they say we're about 20 degrees below the average high, but for the last 3 weeks, every time I've seen the weather, they say, but the warming trend is on the way.
Right.
And even though we're going to have the rain, we're at least going to have the warm temperatures.
Wrong.
Well, no. You know, tell that to the people like myself who were at Ocean City, Maryland this weekend. And I felt so bad for the schmucks that I saw with their boogie boards.
Yeah.
And
I know.
And their coolers.
Mm-hmm.
Going down to the beach. And I'm looking at the thermometer on my deck. We got a place right on the water. Incidentally, it's for sale. We got a place right on the water. Current temperature, 51 degrees.
Yeah, beautiful summertime.
This was yesterday afternoon at about 3 o'clock. The water temperature is warmer at like 57 degrees.
Yeah, but that's hypothermia water temperature, too.
Right,
yeah, sure.
So everybody on the East Coast is frustrated, and I'm trying real hard not to make this a weatherman thing, but it is a weatherman thing, and it's different than the snow.
Well,
weatherman
we have
thing.
To blame someone.
That's right.
But no, I don't think people would blame the weathermen, and I was going to say it was Sue Palga, but it doesn't matter. She's a man anyway.
Weatherman. She's a weatherman.
I don't think we'd blame them if they just had the balls to come out and just tell us the truth.
We are effed. If you wanted to see sunshine, you might as well pack it in.
Yeah, okay. If just one time you turn it on and they go, this whole weekend is a washout. As a matter of fact, it's going to be a washout until next weekend. And even then, we are not sure. At least you could walk away from the television and say, all right, it's going to suck. I'll make other plans.
Now, Saturday evening around sunset, the skies brightened. Actually, where I was
a tease.
It was, and everybody had this attitude of, oh, all right. Well, then part of the weekend is going to be okay. Now, I know you and I are in far different areas.
No, but I've got one for you that Frieda and I went into the movies Saturday about 2 o'clock.
Right.
When we came out at 4 o'clock, it was sunny. And as people left the theater, and it was, you know, Bruce Almighty, The In-Laws, right. Matrix.
Right.
Theaters were jammed.
You would have thought that we were cavemen who had never seen the ball of fire in the sky.
Everybody
was running out of
that is how
going,
desperate we are for it.
Look, it's finally sunny, and it was sunny for exactly 80 minutes.
That's about right. And then that night, at least where I was, it started pouring again, and it was pouring all night long, and then most of Sunday was kind of a washout.
Too. And it's bad weather again today.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I watch TV commercials now and see the sun on a TV commercial and actually go, wow, look at how crisp and clear and blue that sky
is. What is that?
It is it is dreary. It is a cold rain.
It is really starting to drive people.
We're wearing long sleeve sweaters. It's after Memorial Day.
I know.
It's about 60 degrees, and it's you know, the same way all week.
If you're in another part of the country where you're having trouble relating to this tough tease,
yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is we have never had a spring like this, where
there's no spring. Let's call the weather service.
New forecast was just issued.
Hold on, Buzz. Let me get it from the weather phone.
All right.
You hear what they're. This is not a goof call, Mike. This is not like Tom Gavin.
I'm not going to hear Charlie on the other end of this.
No.
All right,
welcome to the latest weather forecast brought to you by Verizon. The current temperature in downtown Washington is 59.
Good afternoon. The relative humidity 83% with calm winds and a steady barometer.
Hi, D-sucker.
0.4 inches. This afternoon, look for those cloudy skies to continue with scattered showers and high temperatures in the lower 60s. For tonight, continued mostly cloudy with a few showers, maybe an isolated thunderstorm.
Hey.
Overnight low temperatures in the middle 50s. As we head into Wednesday, we'll have a cloudy morning, but then partly cloudy skies during the afternoon with scattered showers.
Yeah.
High temperatures.
What does that
near
mean?
Rain.
Degrees.
Rain.
Partly cloudy with only a slight chance of a shower Wednesday night.
Hey,
overnight
rain.
Low temperatures in the upper 50s.
That means it'll rain.
On Thursday, becoming mostly cloudy. A good chance of showers and thunderstorms.
I mean becoming?
High temperatures in low 70s.
Rain.
Friday's outlook, becoming mostly sunny.
Yeah.
Highs in the mid and upper 70s.
What?
For Verizon weather,
oh,
meteorologist Mark Richard.
The rain returns on Saturday and Sunday. According to the long-range forecast I'm looking at.
Yeah, of course. And I would, and I would make a bet with you right now. I'll go double or nothing on our Annika Sorensen bet that it rains on Friday. That Friday, and I'm not just saying drizzle. I'm going to say it's like today.
Full
it's,
out.
It's a washout.
All right.
This cannot suck enough.
True.
And this is we're going to have... This is like Noah crap.
Mm-hmm. It is effed with everybody's mood, everybody's mentality.
Yep.
No matter what you were doing, no matter where you were going, all people are doing is bitching about the weather.
Right.
And I find fault with the weather people because they live to lie to us. And last night was the epitome. Last night, when I heard, and I wrote down his name to make sure that I would have it correctly, Steve Rudin. This is the guy's name. He's a tool. He works on Fox. This is what he said. Oh, as you know, there's a bright side to all of this. If this was snow, we'd be looking at 15 to 30 inches. And then the anchors, who look like they just want to punch him in the face, they turn over and go, yes, but it's almost June.
Yeah.
But if this were snow,
moron.
And then one of the anchors said, "Why are you saying snow?"
Yeah. Why did that guy that you just played say becoming cloudy? You know, the clouds aren't going away.
That's how they lie to you.
Yeah.
That's becoming cloudy. Like it's changing. It's not changing. It's one big cloud.
So anyway, I think here's the point. We're all adults. The most of us are. And I think even our children can deal with the fact that the weather sucks.
I think so.
Just tell us the truth. Tell us that it's going to rain until the 4th of July. Or tell us that it's going to rain for the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But don't leave everybody hanging. The thing is, everybody, every day, we're given some glimmer of hope by the weather forecasters.
Which is BS.
Yeah. That the next day is going to be the day that we finally get some nice weather.
And everybody... This is as bad as I have ever seen. You talk about that seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
This is everybody has it now. Everybody is in a state of colossal depression.
Yeah, it sucks, and you can't relate to it unless you're in it. And I know that if you live in Seattle and we're on in Seattle, you're used to weather. Well, I'm sorry, we're not used to this. Now we are used to this weather phenomenon on the East Coast. We are used to it being winter. And then it's spring for about a week,
mm-hmm, or less.
And then it gets to be like 85.
Right.
Yeah, so we're not going to have that this year. I think we're going to have the clouds will part and it will be 90. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen.
But my question is,
When's it going to be the 80? When's it going to be 70?
November.
I don't think it's going to be 70 all week.
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be 70 maybe until next week. Maybe next weekend. Not this weekend, but you know, the following weekend.
We're lucky. And you know, I know everybody's got different forms of recreation, but I really, really want to say for my fellow golfers that we are effed this season. I mean, they are. Every place I play golf, they're actually having things now, like they're saying, we're going to redo opening day because you didn't have an opening day. And everybody that's kind of trying to tune up, say, for a big tournament that you've never played in before.
Don't worry, Mike, it's going to be washed out. The PGA Pro-Am you're playing
in. You're
next
probably
week.
Right. It'll probably be rained out.
It's not going
to matter. Even though they've added Mark O'Mara to the field now.
It's not going to matter that you got drunk and fell again on a boat and tore your hamstring. That's just a tease as to what's coming up.
Well, it's not much of a tease now that you've let the cat out of the bag.
We don't have all the details.
No, I'll give you the acrobatic details.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Oops. Hi, you're on the air.
This weather sucks, Don.
This does
suck. Yeah, listen, I want everybody to just know, in other parts of the country, I'm not apologizing, but I'm just going to tell you, you're going to hear this for a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to bear with us.
Understand, please.
What is that you wrote down?
Did Robbie just write a joke?
Mark O'Mara is a big fat tub of goo.
He is.
That is hard, but was he on your fantasy golf team?
Yes, I drafted him right after he won the Masters, and all he did is proceeded to eat food and gain weight. So I hate Mark O'Mara.
Stop
I hope
it.
He falls in a puddle.
Stop it.
All right, Rob.
Right?
Rob, you should be happy that people are finally working their way towards you.
You know, this is very exciting for me. If this rain goes for 20 more days, I could declare myself a leader.
You know, if this rain goes for 20 more days, what was the Bible? Wasn't that 40 days and 40 nights?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but who believes the Bible?
Has anybody taken a look really like at little creeks that you drive over bridges?
Yeah, they're full.
You taking a real look at that? Yeah. It's getting a little scary.
Yeah.
I looked at one today where I was like, I went by and, you know, you see a fully grown tree with the water halfway up it, and it's like, whoa.
I saw a shark.
Let me just get through a couple more of these calls. Because we do have
shark!
We do have a lot of weekend stuff to get to. And I do have something from Ocean City that I believe is going to become a staple on this show.
Wow. Good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I think so. I mean, I do have some good weekend stuff, and I definitely know Mike does. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yep.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, man, this is something you guys need to like move to like Phoenix or Vegas.
Well, you
know what? I'd do that in a minute.
You need to move to Phoenix or Vegas. Where are you calling from?
My kids are here. I can't move away from this.
Where are you calling from?
Baltimore, and all it does is rain.
Yeah, right. And Baltimore is in the same
anybody
boat as we are, if you'll pardon the pun.
You know, anybody take that opportunity to go where there's sun right now.
Yeah, we would.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing?
Hey, my friend. Hold on. I'll tell you one thing that made me happy. Yesterday I was watching the Weather Channel. And, they're infuriating because they're all so happy. You know, they're all just happy. And I found myself being happy when they were showing Miami where it was raining.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, at least they're getting there. And they were saying, look, and even if you were down in South Florida, Dade County, they're getting just hit with thunderstorms. But the good news is that's moving out. And they're going to have a super, super Memorial Day fun day.
Well, usually in South Florida, it always moves out. Yeah. I mean, you'll get it, but it'll move out after a while.
Hey, Kevin, go ahead. You're on the air. I'm sorry.
Hey, what's up? You know what really chaps my ass? I was driving to Rehoboth Beach this weekend, and I see one of these big billboard signs that says plus or minus, guarantee on like their weather predictions. On like how hot or how cold it's going to be.
Yeah, that's a new phenomenon with the weather guys where they have like guaranteed weather.
Right.
Yeah, but like, you know, we could just get a 19-year-old pimply boy that works at King's Dominion that does my weight, you know, when I pay him a dollar to guess my weight. we could just do the same goddamn thing.
Yeah, people are just repeating what we've said.
People are angry.
Just give it to us the way that it is. Just tell us.
You know what they'll tell you, Don, is it's a thankless job, and, you know, your weathermen don't get noticed when the weather's good and they're giving you good forecasts.
I know we say it when it snows, but I'm going to say it again now. It is, without a doubt, the easiest job in the world. There is no accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You F up the weather forecast, and you know what you say? It's God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you get a weather guy, if he's really on the defensive, where he says, hey, it's really a science that you can't predict.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's the case, then why do you have the little... I mean, I still laugh when it says NWA on the bottom of the screen, because I think, you know, niggers with attitude, and it's actually...
Right.
NWA is National...
Well, it's NWS for National Weather Service.
No, but there's also one that says NWA, and every time I see it... What is it?
Is it the advisory or something? Is it advisory?
No, it's...
There's a meteorological association.
It's the thing that they got down by the names where it says NWA. Or New World Order.
Well, what your point is that they have these associations, these alliances,
right.
These evil empires that produce these meteorologists, and they really are all evil.
So on one hand, if they're saying when you really pin a weather guy down or a girl, they say, well, it's an inexact science that we're just offering up our best guess. Well, why not?
Didn't Doug Hill say that the 7-day forecast is really a total guess.
Yeah,
it is. Where they can pretty much predict it within 24 hours. They've demonstrated they can't do
present
that.
Presented as a guess. I would relish the opportunity to turn on the news.
And have guest weather people.
Well, even if,
here's what I think. Snow.
Even if it was the regular guys, just have them say, here's Doug's guess for the next 7 days.
You know what? If you had, I'm serious, if you had a television station that really did that, that really did, here's the guess, here's my guess, you would have the highest rated ratings for any weather forecast.
And I would bet.
Because, I mean, if they came out and said, here's my guess for Saturday.
Yeah, and I would
fantastic.
Bet. They'd be wrong an equal number of times as all these guys with all the credits in the bottom corner of the screen.
You do it all summer. You say, here's my weekend guess. I'm giving it to you on Monday. Here, you know, I put together this information that I have, and I'm thinking this is my guess. And then there's a tote board for how many weekend days you got right. If they did more of the accountability, I think we'd have more fun.
Thank you, Lily. NWA is National Weathercaster Association.
There you go.
Oh, professional group.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Hi, you're on the air.
I think eventually, instead of a 7-day forecast, they're going to go to like a 2-hour forecast.
You know, but even that they can't handle. But I can't tell you how many times we've never even bitched about it. Here's something we've never bitched about on the show, but that happens behind the scenes. A lot of times we'll see outside our studio where the skies get like Independence Day, the Will Smith movie. Skies get incredibly dark and black, and the wind howls, and we see the thunder, and 20 minutes later, we get the notification from the emergency weather system that there's bad weather in the area.
Right.
And it's really important that you warn someone when it's going to rain hard.
Mm-hmm.
Look out, here it comes.
Yes. But my point is that they just look out the window and they say,
right.
Oh, Jesus, that's a storm. We better send out information.
The best weather you get is when you're at a golf course, and many of the modern golf courses have it now. They have this little computer screen, and they've got their radar, and a little siren goes off when there's lightning in the area, and they clear the golf course out, and that is the most perfectly predicting a situation. I mean, it's a short-term thing.
Right.
But, I mean, I've seen that. I have been called off the golf course so many times. You go in there, and, you know, by just about the time you get in, man, it comes through, and it comes through like purgatory.
And it started being a source of, you know, things with my wife are going so great.
Mm.
It's become the one thing now that drives her nuts when I insist on watching the weather.
Mm.
Because her point, while it's very... Dr. Spock-ish, and I don't mean the baby doctor, and Mr. Spock, Star Trek-ish, it's logical. She says, why do you watch? They're never right. Why do you watch?
You know, and I have to admit, and I'm going to say it now because it motivates me, the last time I got weighed on the show, was 289.
Yeah.
I'm up to 290 again. Okay, so I mean, I'm not blaming the weather, but I'm saying
the weather, Mike.
I'm just mad, and I want accountability, and I really want that accountability. So that's why I'm saying it, and I could lie.
You're willing to be accountable.
I'm accountable for my weight, and I'm going to do it every week. I'm doing it every single week.
And as long as this is the bench session, I got two more to get out of the way, and then I'm ready to go on with the show.
All right.
One more, and this bothered me about our radio station, but about radio in general. Radio station traffic. Here's the deal, and this is something that's not just an East Coast or a West Coast thing, no matter where you are, here's the deal. Radio stations, and I say this coming off the heels of a 3.5-hour drive today. I came from Ocean City to D.C. radio stations, even the ones that give you traffic and weather on the sevens, they only have 20 seconds for traffic. And 15 seconds of that 20 seconds is eaten up by a commercial that they have to run. So what you get is they focus on just one area. And if you live in a large metropolitan area, generally speaking, you've got like 10 highways, a couple of freeways, you've got an interstate or two, and what they say is there's construction on Connecticut Boulevard. This traffic update brought to you by blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm coming back today, and around Route 95, very famous interstate highway, there's a backup that I'm sitting in, and once I break through, I notice that the backup going the other way, towards 95 South, and I watch it because I push the thing on my odometer, 9.5 mile backup.
Wow.
I turn on the station that has weather on the sevens. I heard three reports in 30 minutes, not one word about it. However, they want to let you know that there's a water main break on the West Side Freeway.
Right.
They want to let you know that there's construction zone on New Hampshire Boulevard. Not that that is not relevant, but here's my complaint. How about just taking 60 seconds and really give real traffic?
Yeah.
Because it's useless. It's friggin' useless. I mean, it's useless on our show. And I'm the one that thought we needed it on our show. And I've gotten into the argument with the people here saying, but the girl only gives 5 seconds of traffic. And all the rest is like, watch something on the Discovery Channel.
Right, right.
Why don't we just blow off that? Why don't we listen to all the other radio stations and try to come up with what we think is the best traffic forecast and spend the 20 or 30 seconds really giving real traffic?
Real traffic.
But then they got this thing about integrity. I said, who cares? Why not just get on the air and say, we listen to all the other stations, and we take all the junk they give you, and here's what we think the real traffic is. Because is there anything more frustrating than being in an 8, 9, 10-mile backup, turning on your station that gives you weather and traffic on the 7s, and hearing nothing about the backup you're in?
I just think, as I listen to you, and if I was in my car listening to you right now, I would feel the same way, that I think that we offer a public service as an outlet for everybody that is as pissed off as we are, that wants to commiserate with somebody, that wants it to come through a radio, and I hope that's what we're doing. I hope we are not...
Okay.
We're not simply making things worse. I hope the fact that we get on here and bitch... Because we feel the way you feel that you'll feel better somehow about that.
So
I like bitching. I really do.
Yeah, so healthy, right?
The weather stinks. The weather's going to stink forever.
Mm-hmm. My name's Mike O'Mara, and if I'm not complaining, I'm not living.
Now, the weather stinks. The traffic stinks. The traffic reporting stinks on ice. And they're still running the Rumsfeld show on Thursday.
Right.
Beyond that... Uh-huh. I'm out of complaints.
And nobody's going anywhere. So everyone's here.
Right.
No, they all came to the beach.
Well, that's still here, as far as I'm concerned.
And
you know what? They all come to the beach, and they're still all here, too. Same people that went to the beach came out here on Saturday.
No,
so 5 hours back and forth, just to F up traffic everywhere.
They're all here. I don't know. So... That's the opening of the show today.
You know, from the lady at the Giant food store, I said, when is a good time to come here to do grocery shopping? I said, as I was there at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, packed, and you said it, and she said, 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And I'm like, well, F you.
I have told you, though, that is the optimum time.
7 a.m. on Saturday? Why don't you just take needles, shove them into my testicles?
Mike,
Jesus Christ.
I've told you that before, time to go.
But F everybody.
Okay, that's something.
Why don't we have single men that are separated from their families day? You know, where I can roll in there and do all my grocery shopping without having to F around with people with 700 things in their grocery carts.
Some people like Peapod, in which they bring groceries right to your house.
Not where I live, because I happen to live in bum F, Rob. We don't have pizza delivery where I live, okay? You can't get anything delivered where I live, except manure.
That should help.
Thank you.
That should help with your diet, though.
Well, I'm on a new one. I'm on a new old one.
Anyway.
Now.
That's it. I'm
eating a lot of eggs.
Uh-huh.
I'm out of bitching about that. I got plenty of other stuff, but I'm out of bitching about the weather and the traffic and the Rumsfeld thing. Are you out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that business about the supermarket really is very, very much at the top of my list. Right next to the weather is the grocery store. And I remember when this grocery store came into my neighborhood, we were all so excited about it. And then they built 7 million houses with a two-lane road. And now we've got people like rats that are shoved on top of people, and everybody can only go to one grocery store, and they ought to have 10 grocery stores for the population.
That's an everyday bitch, though.
Yes,
you should, you should save that for another day.
I know. I want to live somewhere else.
Well, you have the power to.
I really don't. I don't have the power to. I have responsibilities. I can't live anywhere.
But I know you got your kids.
That's number one. I stay where they are.
But you could live in another area of the metro area.
Well, not really. I want to be close to them. I want to be very, very close to them. And I don't want to live... What, Joe?
Here is Joe.
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 Perhaps you should try the Giant over by George Mason University.
There he is, Joe Ardinger.
If you want some friendly advice, a haircut and take a bath. You get hassled so much.
Wow.
Joe Ardinger.
So drive over to GMU.
Yeah.
About 30 minutes, like in the other direction of where I go home to go to work.
5 minutes away from the radio station, and it's where all the 18 to 24-year-old girls that go to Mason shop.
Hey, incidentally,
you won't care how long you wait in line.
Here's
you know what?
Hey.
I am really... That impresses me.
I'm gonna give Joe... A real reason to feel good about himself.
Well, he's got one now because I'm going to tell him that's the best damn piece of advice he's ever given me.
Now that I've thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being is, what the hell? We're going to let it all go today?
What the hell?
There's this deal with Bruce Springsteen that...
Does he know about this?
Bruce Springsteen?
Does Joe know about what you're going to say?
I know of
it. He knows part of it, but
okay.
he doesn't know all of it. Here's the deal. I guess the Bruce Springsteen concert is not an immediate sellout.
Very rare for the boss.
So, the company that's promoting the show came to us and said, would you guys like to get involved? And I said, we'd love to. Here's my idea. Because they're going to give us a sky suite at the MCI Center.
And really, really terrific.
I said, here's my idea. Go to the show with Joe.
Go to the show with Joe.
Joe. Then we get a bunch of our listeners together with Joe... And, you know, Joe gets pounded and hammered, they get pounded and hammered, and everybody reports the next day, and it's cool because you see Springsteen with Joe, the world's oldest hippie.
You like Springsteen?
Absolutely.
Right.
This idea gets run up the flagpole, and it gets all the way up to, and I'm going to mention his name right now, Michael Hughes.
Yeah.
Who's the vice president of Muckety Mucks.
Okay.
And his answer is, who is Joe?
Oh, dear.
And I said, Joe's the world's oldest phone screener, and Joe is on the show almost every day.
Right.
He said, well, I've never heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, but do you listen? It's like he's on the... I said, even when he's not on the show, he's always...
Joe.
He's always being ridiculed.
Yeah. he's mocked usually once per day at the very least. Yeah.
It always happens, and then the way it was put to me is, well... Okay, it's your call, but I just got news for you. If you guys F up this promotion, it's on you. So
well, how could that happen?
So, yeah, right, Joe, absolutely. So
the only way it could happen is if people didn't want to go, and everybody's going to want to go with Joe.
Sure.
So anyway, that's just another thing that pissed me off about this place.
Yeah.
So they come to us. Here was the great idea from Jay Stevens. You know, just another one of the many program directors.
Here's my idea.
Stuart Little.
Hello there, I'm hey. Look down at me.
His idea was, because he's got this whole thing that you and I have to get out on the streets.
Oh, yeah, all right, okay.
Remember his big idea that you and I have to go out and drive the van one day and spot bumper stickers?
Exactly, and maybe, like, take, you know, windshield washer things and wash people's...
Bumper stickers that, incidentally, we don't have.
Yeah.
But still... The idea was that Mike and I would go out one day and drive the van around.
Yeah, God forbid they get us bumper stickers for the Don and Mike show. No way.
Go out during the Bill O'Reilly show with that huge listenership of 10 to 12 people and say,
yeah, this is Don. I'm here with Mike. We're at Seven Corners right now in the JFK F truck. So come on by and get your free T-shirt.
Well, I said no to that. And then Jay said... And all of this done without me. I mean, they go through other people, and the emails just work their way to me. That Jay said, well, he thought the best idea was for you and I to go to the show and to take our listeners with us. And I said, I'm not opposed to going to the show, but I've seen Bruce Springsteen a couple of times, and you know, I know there are a lot of people who love him, but you've seen him once. I mean, the show is like 4 hours long. I don't want to see him again, and I know that you've got your kids on the weekend. And,
right, exactly.
You know, we've got families and stuff, so why not send Joe? But the thought from the same geniuses that are putting Donald Rumsfeld on Thursday is well, it won't work if you guys don't go, because and here was the thought, because they didn't, the people who run the station, didn't know who Joe was.
Therefore, he does not exist.
So, unlike people who listen to the show,
correct,
they didn't realize that Joe is a big part of the show, and that Joe is kind of our stooge that we send out for various things, from trick or treating for beer to man on the street interviews at tax deadline day. You know?
Not to mention, whenever anything goes wrong, it's always Joe's fault.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of the niche that Joe has on the show, and even though we fire him all the time and tell him he's an idiot, it's quite obvious that we're very fond of Joe, and,
yes,
and our listeners like Joe.
Here comes Joe.
Here he is now. Hi, Joe.
And I can still party, Joe.
So does that.
And he'd be much better.
I'm still singles. I can still party.
Right.
No kids. No commitment.
He'd be much better than Mike or I. I mean, he'll go there and get...
I actually have commitment, but no responsibility.
Yeah, and, you know... You know
anyway,
you know.
I got pissed that the whole thing was originally shot down just because all of these guys who were in charge of the company said...
Well, we've done that for, you know, 18 years. We've been, you know, sharing that type of thing with guys that and ladies that work on the show.
Well, their whole
That's
thing...
That's the way that stuff always works.
Their whole thing was, it's Bruce Springsteen, so it's, you got to be careful. You got to be careful about...
Oh, what? It's a concert.
Yeah. Well, you got to be careful about the guy's a dinosaur. The guy's gonna sell out the concert anyway.
Right.
And if we could do anything to help that, we'd be glad to. But, you know, let's make it fun for people. I guarantee people will have no fun with Mike and I if we're forced to go to an event.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because we pout.
Yeah.
We're not any fun. We'll just make a lot of bad impressions.
Joe will love it, and everybody will have a great time with Joe.
And Joe knows the first rule of our show.
Joe.
You never get a second chance to make a first impression.
And, then, you know, that's just another one of the things behind the scenes that's just up my ass.
Yeah.
Is that, and then, you know, this whole thing Thursday, which is happening, incidentally.
Mm.
It's happening. So... We'll deal with that.
We will. Is that it? Have we completed the laundry list?
Yeah.
Is that all the complaints we have?
Yeah. Well, I got some other complaints, but they're not real complaints.
Yeah.
You know, we do have good news. Can I offer a bit of good news?
They're like funny complaints.
I am aware that all is right with Wendell Smoot Hall, engineer.
Oh, I received an instant message from Wendell on Sunday night.
And I got it in the garage. My instant message was in the garage when I came in, and he had mentioned that he spoke to you and he spoke to me. And, he, you know, I got a wave from Wendell, and I knew everything was fine.
Remember he was all mad last week when we were bitching about, about how bad the equipment is.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendell takes it very personally. We made a point of saying, it's not about the engineer.
But that's Wendell, and I said that to him. I said, no, you don't need to apologize. You're Wendell. And you do that, and that's what makes you Wendell. I'm actually quite fond of Wendell, and I'm amused when that happens. I know I shouldn't be amused when someone else gets angry, but with Wendell, it's fun.
Now, Wendell, don't get mad at what I'm going to say.
No.
Here it goes again.
Welcome back.
No.
What?
No. This is just an observation. You ever been online, and like you're trying to look at a website, or you're trying to buy something online, and someone's having an instant message conversation with you? And here's what I'll tell you very briefly. Rob, give me a minute because I know we got a break. I'll tell you that I've been looking for a lawn. It's me. It's stupid. I'm looking for a Green Bay Packers Hawaiian shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally, I get an email from NFL.com that they've got them in stock.
All right.
Ted Nugent called, wants his shirt back.
So I'm like a mental case. I'm typing on the keyboard, and all of a sudden I hear the instant message. It's Wendell. Wendell writes, you know, hey, I'm really sorry I overreacted last week. I didn't even hear what you guys said until I spoke to my sister, and I really feel like an ass. I'm sorry. So I write back to him, hey, Wendell, everything's cool. I know you're passionate about your job. If you weren't passionate, I wouldn't respect you.
Right.
You're a good guy. Don't worry about it.
Good.
Then I go back to the website where I'm ordering stuff,
And it's like he won't stop talking. You know what I mean? It's like
Here he is. Here he is right now.
Now, don't get mad, Wendell.
Sorry about that, too.
But this happens, no, Wendell, this happens with everybody with me. When I'm on the computer and someone wants to instant message, I hear that bling.
1 minute.
And I think,
oh.
Sorry, buddy.
That's it. Your time's up.
Anyway, he had to send about five additional lines before I finally wrote back.
Is it the same thing as when somebody leaves too long a message on your answering machine?
Yeah, except it's different. Because
I've never IM'd. I don't know what that.
Well, that's
all about.
If you're on a website.
I don't have a buddy list.
If you're on a website, the thing comes up all of a sudden, and it's like you got to react to it.
Right. And
if you just minimize
it. Now I'm glad I don't have a buddy list.
If you just minimize it, it goes away until the next time Wendell writes back. Like, in essence, what you're writing is, you're not writing back to me, so I'm just going to continue writing to you. And then you hear the bling, and you pull it up and enlarge it, and it's still Wendell, who's still talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back on, and I type...
I'm sorry about apologizing too much.
That's what I finally wrote to you, Wendell, was, you know, let it go.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. You're my buddy. You're the best engineer. Let it go.
And Wendell, we didn't even have a conversation about this, and I said the exact same thing in the in the basement.
True.
That's you. That's what makes you you.
Gee, that's attractive.
Right. Come on, Wendell. Get over it.
Come on. Right. Shake it off, Wendell.
It's cool.
Come on, Wendell. You're the greatest. No, you are.
And that's Wendell. Wendell, I dig the Foo Fighters. You know, much more relaxing to see you in that T-shirt than the NRA stuff that you wear normally. Really.
Who showed up at the hotel door at 4 a.m. with a bottle of booze?
Yeah, that's
you, Wendell. Wendell.
Yeah. Wendell, he gives a damn.
That's right.
He does.
Somebody who cares is a lot more fun to deal with than somebody who doesn't. And believe me, around this joint, you got a cart full of people that don't give a rat's butt.
And that's, in essence, what
no,
I wrote.
No, not you, Rob.
Well, Rob doesn't care. That, in essence,
Rob doesn't care in a good way, though.
That's what I wrote to you, right, Wendell?
Don't say cart, Mike.
You care. You care, and you take it personally, but don't take the other stuff personally. And the instant messaging stuff, don't take that personally either. However, I do have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Are you, like, on AOL all the time?
No. Uh-huh.
Because it seems that...
No, you're just not lucky.
Well, no. Every time I turn on AOL, I get an instant message, and Wendell's got... I won't give you a screen name, but he has a screen name...
Pretty banged up.
...that... gives you no indication that it's Wendell.
Right.
And a lot of times I have to type back, who is this?
That's why I said, hi, Don, it's Wendell.
Yeah, well, now you do.
Yeah.
But you remember back,
a year
ago, he would just send me, I'd just be at the computer, and all of a sudden go, bling. Hey, dude, what's up? What are you doing? And look at him, I'm going, looking at this name going.
Oh, wow.
And finally I have to just type back, because I don't know if it's a listener or what, just type back, who are you and what do you want? And then it comes back, hey, dude, it's Wendell. Always on the web. Anyway, don't let that stuff last week.
That's cool.
Don't take that personally. Okay?
Cool. I won't.
Everything's fine.
Thanks, Wendell.
Thank you.
There he is, Wendell Hall, everybody.
Oh, and on a personal note, if I could just say this, I would like to say sorry to Roger Clemens of the New York Yankees, who was going for win number 300 yesterday, and unfortunately he wasn't able to get his little win. And I guess that kind of put a damper on him when he had to change gloves, because he already had the patch on his glove saying 300 game winner, and they made him take his glove off.
Hey, Mike.
I said, I don't really want to.
I'm going to steal that thing your friend told you.
My friend, who is a Yankee fan, my friend Randall, had the funniest line I've gotten from a Yankee fan.
Spring forward.
Yeah, he said, continue to spring forward.
Because they're gonna fall back.
They're going to fall back. You've got to enjoy it when you can.
We got a break. We got so much weekend stuff to tell you. I got a whole weekend with my wife. I got my kid. The problems with him and the good stuff with him. I've got a tape of a guy in Ocean City that I think is going to be the new bad Billy Warner. We got... drunk Mike falling and wrecking his hamstring.
Oh, yeah, it still hurts. Boy, does it hurt. I don't like it. I don't like that morning. You know, the head hurts bad enough that morning after, but to have your hammy. I got me a bad hammy today.
So much good stuff, but we got a break now.
Mike, what have I always told you? It's not a good drunk unless you wake up with a bruise you don't remember getting.
We will be right back. Don't even have time for the contest today.
Wow.
We'll be right back. Oh, but they're the touchdowns.
Huh.
No, let me just say,
shut up!
Ignore those. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just got off the phone with Tom Mercado from the Budget Committee. This thing with Favre screwed up, Pooch.
What? They can't lump us in with that f***ing Martian.
We're all in the same boat, fellas.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No! Oh.
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
The Don and Mike Show. They love the smell of their own farts. Don and Mike.
Yeah, some of the music on today's show, courtesy of Buzz.
Hi.
It's not too gay. I mean, it's very nice.
Yeah. No, it actually is kind of gay.
Looking at the label, though, Buzz, yeah. Well, we all had time on our hands this weekend,
sure,
right?
Did.
Buzz is downloading songs and maybe a CD of songs that he enjoys and I enjoy. And the CD is titled Don and Buzz.
Yeah.
Aww.
Dramatic, isn't it?
That's sweet. Anyway, thank you very much, Buzz.
Sure.
And you'll hear those from time to time today. Hey, it's a party, everybody. Come on, Eileen. Robbie, you got the traffic. Just very briefly to illustrate what I was talking about.
Yes.
We recorded our traffic that we just ran going into a commercial.
Just to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have the music? Do we have our exciting traffic music?
Sure. Do you want this version of it?
Well, we have so many exciting versions.
I know.
You know, I think the music will actually take away from what we're trying to do here, so...
Yeah, if you run it dry, your point being the commercial for the traffic is really most of the traffic.
And this is universal, not just to Washington. So you can apply this to wherever you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, here in D.C., 4 million people live in Washington, D.C., in the metro area. There are five interstates, the Beltway... Bridges going into and out of the city.
And there may be six or eight guys that do what you do.
But I'm just trying to say, freeways,
yeah,
like any major city, there really are maybe 20 gigantic roads that at any time, especially a day like today where it's raining,
truck full of bottlenecks.
Traffic is effed up. Let's listen now to a replay of our last traffic that was just broadcast 10 minutes ago.
Sprinkles moving through the area, wet pavement, and now accidents. Westbound Route 7, Leesburg Pike at Barron Cameron Avenue. The roadway is partially blocked. This report is service of Magruder's with 12 locations in the D.C. Okay. area. Magruder's, home of certified Angus beef, at
right.
Magruder's.
Shut
certified
up.
Angus
that's,
beef sells for the
really
same
it.
Or less than other supermarkets' choice or select grades. Shop at Magruder's
right.
fresh for
right.
less.
Why are we...
I'm beautiful Kate on the Don and Mike Show on WJFK.
Shut up! Now... Why are we wasting valuable time? Why don't we just tape all the... Because all the stations have the same junk.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they have time to give you one accident.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have somebody in the other room taping all the other stations? And who cares about integrity? Just come on and say, yeah, we tape the traffic from the other stations.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run the 30-second commercial. Just feel the traffic. And just give you 30 seconds of real traffic.
That was more commercial than it was traffic.
7 seconds of traffic information, 14 seconds of commercial after.
And if you rewind it...
You might want to make that 15.
No offense to beautiful
Kate. Get in trouble.
You know, frankly, the fact that it's sprinkling is not something we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But she only talks about one wreck.
On Route 7.
Right. On Route 7, which is, in the structure of things, a third-tier road.
Mm-hmm.
And Byron Cameron, I know where that is.
Your first tier roads, you got your Beltway, you got your 270, you got your 66.
You got your 295.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got your 395.
You got your 95 south, you got your 95 north.
Right, you got your
Route 50 east, your Route 50 west.
You got your Teddy Roosevelt Bridge.
Got your BW Parkway.
Mm-hmm. Right, you got your George Washington Parkway.
Sprinkles moving through the area, wet pavement, and now accidents. Westbound Route 7, Leesburg Pike at Barron Cameron Avenue. The roadway is partially blocked. This report is service of Magruder's with 12...
Stop it for a second, and I just want you to pick it up after she says sprinkle to see how much... She gave us one traffic report.
Mm-hmm.
How much actual traffic we had in that report. I want to time it out. Pass where she says it's sprinkling.
Okay,
probably giving his old man a hack in the back. I don't know if anybody... That was a good one.
You got stars?
That was like an old man.
You ready? Here we go. And I got a timer on this, so start it.
Westbound Route 7, Leesburg Pike at Barron Cameron Avenue. The roadway is partially blocked. This report is service of...
4 seconds.
Wow.
Hey, what happened?
What happened to that?
4 seconds of actual traffic. And this is not unique to our radio station.
No.
This is how it's done everywhere.
This is the way it's everywhere in the country.
4 seconds.
It's silly.
So if you're sitting on Route 95, which is a major interstate highway, and you're in that 10-mile backup, you go, oh, Don and Mike are going to traffic. I'm going to turn this on. Meanwhile, she's talking about something on Byron Cameron Road. I got news for you. I drive on Byron Cameron Road every day.
Mm-hmm.
It is roughly 25 miles away from the Beltway.
And it's certainly not as exciting as Byron Allen Road.
Barron Cameron
Barron
Road.
Cameron.
Barron.
Stop that, Rick. Stop it.
Barron. I always say Byron.
Barron Cameron.
Anyway. All right.
Program director.
So there's my point. I don't know. I don't get it.
Still raining.
The weekend, yeah. Thanks for that update. It's still sprinkling.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Like the 2 million people in their cars don't know that it's sprinkling now.
Still raining outside. Cloud cover.
And then one accident.
I'm Joe Krebs. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
One accident, and then all the rest is about a grocery store.
Yes.
Why not say, here's the grocery store report, and tag it with, oh, yes, there's an accident on Route 7 in Barron Cameron.
When they clean that up, how about some groceries?
Anyway. Hold on. Hello, Don and Mike.
Dude,
hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't they complain about the, or state about the traffic that's actually happened on the interstates?
Well, that was kind of my point.
That's what he was saying.
Well, I agree. I'm backing you.
All right, good. Well,
thank you.
Your phone sounds a little funky.
Right.
That's another one. Another one on my list. Cell phone service. One that everybody loves on this show. No comment. I know we can't discuss it. I know we can't discuss it because if we discuss it, we're going to be in trouble. Right?
Oh, because you're going to mention a client's name.
No, I'm just going to say the client name is, it's great.
Right. So don't, please.
Right, exactly. But no, I'm not talking about that client.
Okay, well... Now, see, the thing is...
I've put you in a difficult situation.
Yeah, because we ran... That first segment today was 48 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we continue doing that, we're going to get to the end of the show. We're not going to have any time for news.
Exactly.
So now I'm sitting here with my paper trying to figure out how much time we got.
Right.
And I've already wasted time by playing the traffic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now I figure I've wasted that time. We just got to get right to it.
Absolutely.
Unless your cell phone thing...
No.
...takes precedence.
I just want to make a statement that's to everybody here at work.
Yes.
That's all. That you know, I'm fed up.
With?
With that. With that with that service.
What does it start with? Is it the one I have?
Yeah. NS.
I love it.
It sucks.
I love it.
It's all regional. It's all about where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again.
It's all about where you live.
Yeah. Again, maybe the problem is if you live in an area where you can't get Domino's to come to your house and where there are no grocery stores.
Yeah,
maybe.
You know what? You know where I lose it? I lose it in an area where there are probably as many people as anywhere in the metro area.
You know, I don't have one problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But try another one.
Well, the other one was bad, too. The one that starts with a V.
Then why don't you try...
I might try the one that I've heard great things about that begins with a C.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Give it a try.
I will.
Report back after you find out that one doesn't work either.
I will.
But they're all, it's all pretty much. See? It's all pretty much.
No, the bum F factor exists with all of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, where you live.
And that, where that is your, you know, but I'm talking about just other areas where,
mm-hmm.
you know. But maybe, you know, maybe now that I think of it, where I really lose it a lot is where I live, and that's everything.
And if where you live, you can't get Domino's to come to your house.
I can't get anything out there.
Well, it's because you live so far away.
That's the way I like it.
Move to where the food is. I know. So I
like to be away from people.
You gotta have you know you gotta compromise a little bit.
I like to be with people when I want to be with people.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I want to be away from them.
Okay.
They annoy me.
Now, hold on. I want to get to the weekend here. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Okay.
Just wanted to say, making the great drive from Ashburn out to Clarksville. Don, where did that backup end? I've been sitting to it for 8.5 miles now.
I don't know. And you won't hear about it on the radio.
Man. Okay.
Strangely enough.
You have more traffic coming up.
No,
stay with us.
Fun.
Yeah, we'll have another very useful traffic report coming up.
thanks, guys. You guys make the drive home bearable.
Thank you. And the thing is, for a while, we didn't run traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, well, I think we need traffic because people in their cars need traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we got to do the traffic from the place that's all commercials?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Why doesn't somebody just sit in the other room, listen to WTOP, listen to WMAL, listen to WASH, figure out what the traffic is, and just come in and read it?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's Joe. I think people would accept traffic from a dimwit if it was real traffic.
People could help.
Right?
Joe. If we could do some good.
Right. I mean, if you get real traffic.
Mm-hmm. Do some good here.
Anyway, the weekend. Let's see. Well, here's where...
How was it?
Here's the thing. It was not a bad weekend.
Right.
Everything is tainted by the weather.
True. Mm-hmm.
By the fact that the weather sucked.
And it's funny you use the word tainted after the way the weekend started. And I always consider the way the weekend started to be about the last hour of the show.
Oh, right. With the woman who wouldn't put the tattoos on her taint.
That's it. So then, that started. I know I was a little tense.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife is already at the beach. She's already at her mom's. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to join her on Saturday because I have the thrill of supervising my son's last ever prom.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all saw him walk out in his grandfather's tuxedo, which was very, very special.
Pop-up tuxedo, mm-hmm. Nice tribute tuxedo. to my late father-in-law. And Bart looked great in it, and he was off to have a night. And, you know, my wife and my son and myself, anybody that has a teenager, you can relate to this, that anytime we ask our kid any question, it appears as if we are trying his patience and we are the biggest idiots in the world. We could say to him, hey, bud, what are you doing? Nothing. Did you go out last night? No. Why didn't you go out? Because I didn't feel like it. I mean, really, that's the tone of voice that we get. So, I'm going somewhere with this. Friday night, frankly, he's just driven my wife nuts. So she says, you're in charge of the prom. Whatever he does, you're in charge of. And I'll say on my son's behalf, because I was very worried about him, like all parents do.
Sure.
He was great. Called me when he left the station. Called me at 11:40 to say that he was actually at the prom downtown. Then called me at 1:40 in the morning to tell me that he had won some money at the school-sponsored after party.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called me at 6 a.m. to say...
Yeah, that's something interesting, just what you said. He called you to say that he had won some money at the school-sponsored after party.
Well, they had
a crap game? What was
it was like roulette and stuff.
Oh, it was a casino night.
And it was also, I think, like a drawing.
You know,
like
a right.
ticket stub thing.
All right.
So then he called me at 6 o'clock to say that, first off, he wasn't drunk,
mm-hmm.
and that it would do him no good to sleep for a couple of hours at his friend's house and just come home, that he was just going to come home.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling pretty good about this, and then I got to the beach, and I saw my wife, and my wife started saying about the stuff, like the way my son, who I know loves his mom, like all teenage kids, the way that he talks to her and the way that he talks to me. And then Rob and Carrie were house sitting for us because my wife and I just wanted to get away. We wanted to be at the beach. And I got a call from Carrie, or I called Carrie, whatever it is, on Saturday.
Whatever.
And she says, I cannot believe how wonderful your son is.
Hmm.
And I go, really? And she says, he complimented me today, is Rob's wife, he complimented me today on my hairstyle. That I just got my hair done, and he complimented me on my hairstyle.
Hmm.
I'm driving down the road with my wife, and I say, is this the same kid? Is this really the same kid?
Mm-hmm.
Then we go, it's just the way that he is. And we talked to my brother-in-law, and he said his son was the exact same way. You know, and I was this way. Frieda was, everybody is, the parents, the enemy. Everybody else is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I get the report that Rob... You know, was downstairs having 10 beers and watching Rambo with Bart, which I never do. I hate Rambo.
Right.
But they're watching Rambo, and they're having the time of their lives. And then Carrie calls yesterday, and she says,
I just want to tell you, you have the sweetest, most wonderful son. He's at the Montgomery County Fair, and he called to make sure that we were going to be up tonight because he won stuffed animals for Julia and Robert.
That's nice.
Those are Rob's kids.
Right.
And here's the question that I would ask my son and all parents want to ask. How come you're so nice to everybody except the two people that do every goddamn thing in the world for you?
Wow.
Anyway.
That's a normal question.
Yeah, I know it is, Buzz, it's got nothing to do with the fact that...
I certainly don't think you're alone as a parent of a teenager asking that question.
But, you know, it was just hearing Carrie say, your son is so wonderful and so thoughtful.
But that's better than having the kid that is mean to you and mean to all other adults.
Yeah. And I agree. And also I want to say I appreciate the fact that he's conscientious enough to call me and let me know what he's doing and
right.
the problem. Now, on the other hand, I'm not thrilled about the part that he's so lazy he doesn't have a job. And the deal is, if you don't have a job, you don't get money. Well, he also remembers every promise that I ever made him. And as far as he can remember, the only promise that I have ever broken in his entire life was once when we were on vacation somewhere when he was 7 years old. There was an NBA video game that he wanted to play, and I said, I promise we'll play it tomorrow, and we didn't play it. That is the only promise that my son can tell you. He's 18.
And he remembers it from when he was 7?
Yeah. He still says...
It's food for thought. Yeah.
He still says sometimes, when I say, I've never broken a promise to you, he says, oh, yes, you did. Don't you remember that time in Myrtle Beach? You didn't play the game with me.
It's on file.
So, around Christmas time, I had said to him, because I got this thing about, I got an Xbox, and I only have it for the NFL game. And he likes coming in and playing the other games, because Microsoft gives us free games all the time. It's a nice perk. And I don't like him dicking around with my stuff in my room. In my room with the plasma TV and all that stuff. So I said to him, tell you what, for Christmas, I'll just buy you an Xbox. I'll buy another Xbox for Christmas, and we'll put it downstairs. He just walked by the window. I forgot he's here today.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll buy you an Xbox, and I'll put it downstairs. He said, no, you know what? I really don't want it. I said, okay. Then I tell you what. You got $200 on a gift certificate with me. Whenever you really get in a bind, I'll give you $200. So we had a prom 2 weeks ago, and he said, hey, Dad, you remember that Xbox promise? And I went, yeah. He said, can I have $100 of that money now to take my girlfriend out to dinner? Right. So I said, sure. That was for her prom. Now, his prom is this weekend. So, of course, on Friday, he said, Dad, do you remember your Xbox promise?
Right.
And I said, yes, I do. And I gave him another $100 to take his girlfriend out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not until Sunday when I'm on the phone discussing with him the great time that he had at his prom on Saturday night. I said, where'd you go out to dinner? And he said, we went to a friend's house. And I said, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. I gave you $100. He said, yeah, but I got to use some of that money to send flowers to the friend's mom that made dinner. I said, well, wait. Why did I give you the $100? I gave you the $100 for dinner. And he said, well, I know I told you. And I said, well, I don't think, no, come on in here. If you think I'm wrong, come in here. Now, I have the luxury of him being here today. Mm-hmm. And we got to keep this brief, though, because I did not plan for this segment to go like this. But he's here. Anyway, howdy, bud. Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Point Counterpoint.
Hi there.
Hi.
Would you like to... what have I gotten wrong about this discussion? Anything?
I couldn't hear it because the delay changes, but I don't think anything.
Okay, here's what I was just saying. Well, first I want to say, and you know I've mentioned this.
So he's agreeing with you. So that I've got it all wrong. This is not point counterpoint. He agrees with you.
No, that he's a wonderful kid, and I love the fact that you called me all the time on prom night.
Well, let me get a few things straight. But that says I basically stole $100 from him.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not saying you stole.
But I misled you, you're saying.
Yes.
I didn't know until that night I was going there, or the day before. And also,
hold on, if you didn't know till the day before, why on Friday morning did you come in my office?
Because there was still a chance, and I still need money.
I still need money
to get a corsage.
I had a post-it note out where I'd written myself a note. Get $100 for Bard from ATM.
Pop, would you rather I've asked for 40 for a corsage and say I still have 60 on credit with you?
Yeah, because I got the feeling you're BSing me because...
How am I BSing you if I'm going to get the money in a week from now or today?
Because you told me you needed $100 to go out to dinner, which was the credit from the Xbox and the promise.
Yeah, as an observer, can I just bring up as sort of an arbiter here because I'm listening to both sides?
Yeah.
When you made the deal about the Xbox, that when he needed the money... He'd get 200 bucks. $200
because it wasn't a Christmas present then.
But basically, it would be determined on the need, or would it be determined on, you know, if he just said he needed the money?
Well,
how did that work?
Who defines the need? Because I showed.
That's my question.
I said on gift certificate, and here's the only thing: I don't even mind that I gave you the $100. I mind the fact that I gave it to you, and you never said to me. Oh, incidentally, I'm going to dinner at Kyle's house.
What do you care? What does it matter?
Okay, here's what it matters. It's money that I'm giving you.
Right.
That incidentally, Mom busts my balls about.
But
you know, Mom's got that whole thing about don't give him a dime unless he works for
him. But I'm just saying that what's the difference if you give it to me on Friday and I don't use it? Or you give it to me on Monday and I go out to the movies.
Okay. Also, Mom busts my balls about this. You owe us money already. You still owe us money.
Yeah.
You owe Mom and I money. Mom says to me, why are you giving him money when he owes us money? I say, listen, it's like, you know, I can't break a promise to him. And the only promise I ever broke was, NBA game. That's the only promise I've ever broken my whole life to my son.
That's a pretty damn good track record.
Whenever I tell him we're going to do something,
we do it.
Wow. Hey, but that's all teenager. That's normal, what he says.
So anyway,
I think you're both right
to a certain extent.
I think that, you know, Bart, you know, you made a deal that he gets that $100 when he needs it. It's his call as to when he needs it. I also think that to a certain extent, him coming to you and saying, I need this for dinner, is somewhat false pretense.
Here's the only thing that blew up my
mind. Let me tell you something. When you take, I can look at both of these guys, because it's a hello chip, hello block, you know. And
right.
I will tell you right now, when you do that, when you take both sides with these two guys, there's nobody who's going to win.
Here's the only thing. Let me just say one thing.
Wait.
Go ahead.
I don't think... I would have been able to go to dinner on that money. Only because I still...
Why?
I had a little bit from last week, but it would have been harder only because I had to spend 40 on a corsage, and then I had to spend 25 on parking.
Here's the only thing. Here's all I needed from you, and I would have been cool with it. You just would have said to me when I asked you how the prom went...
It's too late now. How can I fix it?
But just for future reference, when I had asked you how the prom went, all I would need, and I would never have even, and I'm not that I'm even pissed. I just said, oh, incidentally, that $100 you gave me, I didn't have to use it on dinner because I would have said that,
but I didn't think you cared. I told you where I went for dinner. It's not like
you told me where you went for dinner after the fact. But you just said you would have felt better after the fact that I said I'm sorry.
I didn't know I had to say I'm sorry.
No, before the fact. Even before the fact, because if you knew on Thursday or Friday, then why did you come in and have me write on that post-it note?
Because I knew I'd still need money.
Anyway. And why are you so nice to other people?
Sorry, I'll start being mean to everyone.
No. Don't be mean to everybody. Just be nicer to Mom and I.
I try and you say I'm faking it.
Oh, no.
I fake it with many people.
With Mom? Now, that's a separate deal with Mom.
No, because... not with Rob and Carrie, because they're my true friends, but...
Right, because they don't ever tell you what to do, and they don't, you know, ask you what time you're coming in and do all the parents stuff.
From what I've heard about Rob in your house, Rob's usually in a pretty good mood when he's in your house.
He is. Very agreeable.
Whatever.
You know I'm just busting your balls.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm just busting your balls. I'm just saying that in the big scheme, and I said the first part was the true part, that, and I told you this also in private, and I'll say it on the radio too. I'm proud to have a son who tells me if he's going to go to his prom, he's not going to get bombed, that he doesn't, that he called me to tell me he arrived at the prom, called me to tell me that he won this money in the middle of the night, which I was cool with, then called me at 6 a.m. to say, hey, I'm not drunk, and I'm going to come home now rather than sleep with my friends. Didn't I tell you how proud I was of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really am. But it doesn't mean that I can't think I'm being played a little bit on this money thing.
I don't think you're getting played at all.
No. Anyway, so that was that. And then, you know, you got the whole thing with, you know, the teenager, just general teenager behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Just that he's so nice to other people. Yet, and even I've said to you on occasion, why every time I ask you a simple question like, where are you going, or what are you doing, or what are your plans today?
Because it's never a simple question.
Your tone is always as if I've asked you, how do you think we're going to find peace in Iraq? Your tone is always...
It's never a simple question. So what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to go play Papa. Where? When? With who?
Okay, hello, called... Being a parent.
I know. I understand that. But you just say it like it's a simple question.
Well, it is a simple question.
No, it's like 20 simple questions.
Where are you going? Putt-putt. Okay, you go to Pennsylvania to play putt-putt. I just want
to... Oh, yeah. Because I'm going to just hop in the car and go to Pennsylvania to play putt-putt.
How many times have you told me you're 18?
Many times.
Okay.
How many times have I ever gone to a road trip on Pennsylvania and forgot to mention it?
Never. Of which I give you credit for. But it doesn't mean that I'm still not going to want to ask these questions. And that Mom's not going to want to ask these questions.
Right, but what does it matter?
It matters because we love you. And you are our son.
But I still don't understand why you have to know exactly where I'm going to be.
And I give you... God damn it, Bart. I give you leeway. You know I do.
I know.
Now, how many times I told you, really? Is there a dad you know who cares, who's more hands-off than I am? Really? Who cares? You have to.
I don't know if they care.
Okay. Right. Like that one dad we were talking about, I'm not going to say any names. I won't, I promise. Okay, you give me the but.
Yeah, okay.
I would not be like that dad. I wouldn't.
Disappoint.
Pardon me?
You disappoint me.
Because I said that?
Because you won't be like him.
Because I won't be like that dad. Well, I'm sorry, I won't. I'm going to be the way that I am. And I think that that's the reason
you'll thank
you are.
Him later. Yeah.
I could make you cry with a simple comment, but I'll stay away.
You'll thank him later.
Go ahead. Go ahead. What?
You should try to make our times happier together. I'm only going to be here for 3 months. Less than that. It's only going to be holidays.
That sounds normal to me.
Heck, even if I come back then.
That's something you're hearing from me, too. Haven't I said that to you as well? You're only going to be in this house for 3 more months.
And do you know how I respond every time?
You say, yes, I know. I'm only going to be here for 3 more months.
No.
You keep saying it to me over and over again.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, no, you do.
I honestly say, yes, I am.
Yeah, I know. So I said, for the next 3 months, just cut me, and not even me so much, just cut Mom some slack.
Okay.
Just cut Mom some slack.
Go ahead and make my 2 months trying. See how often I come back.
Man.
Now he's doing shtick.
Of course, man. But he does this off the air, too.
There I go.
Anyway.
He's a good kid. That's what
he's a great kid. He's beyond a great kid. He's just got his nice little scam deals going. Then he got his $100 for me, and then he won $200 more, and it's just more reason that he's not going to have to go get a job this summer.
I can, but I can't when I have this, and then I have graduation.
Yeah.
Then I have beach week. After beach week, I'm working.
See, there's the priority now. He has to be here to do his senior project.
Right.
Which he couldn't do before.
No. This has been a plan since winter, the beach week.
I know beach week's important with the seniors. But if your beach week is June 7th to June 14th, and you start at Clemson on August 17th, or is it August 7th?
I
think it's the 7th.
I don't know. That's 2 months.
No, it's not even 2 months. It's like 6 weeks. So you're going to get a job for 6 weeks?
Yeah. Okay, I won't get a job for 6 weeks.
There you go.
Problem solved.
That's it. Problem solved.
Is that what you want me to say? Okay, no job at all.
No, you know I want you to get a job. Because you're going to realize when you get down there.
But that, it's been a plan since December to go to Beach Week. So,
and I don't want you not to. You're not going to
miss
Beach
Week. Out of the equation, then, when am I supposed to have been working? I have physical therapy, and I have to meet Jackie in the morning, and then I have this in the afternoon.
Okay, here's the thing. And this is the discussion I have with you all the time. Even with your physical therapy, because you had your shoulder surgery, and because you are doing your senior project here at work, and because you're doing this, he's working out with a personal trainer.
Because of his shoulder.
Because of his shoulder. Mm-hmm. He's doing all of this stuff. Still, you're finding time. God, I really sound like a parent here. But you've managed to find time to sit on your ass and watch Punk'd and watch Total Request, or whatever it is you watch, and to see your gal pal, that, Ball and Chain.
If I can get a job where I can work on weeknights from 8 to midnight every night, then I would take it, but I don't think I'm going to find that job.
And see, that's where you're wrong.
There are many franchises around here that would have an opening for that time.
For and 4 hours?
Yes.
Yes, they were just...
Yes, they would. Yes. Do you know, he sat through this lecture how many times? How old was I when I had my first job?
I don't know.
Come on, you know.
13, 12,
12.
10.
12.
5.
Before I got into radio. Before I got into radio, what did I do before I got into radio? I worked at Burger Chef. And I lied about my age on the employment thing because they wouldn't let you work there when you're 12. And you know why I worked? Because I wanted a bicycle.
You worked... Wait a minute. You worked at Burger Chef when you were...
12.
Wow.
12 years old?
A fact.
And I lied on the sheet and said I was 15.
Wow.
I know, we got a break.
Cool.
Because my dad... Because I wanted a bike and my dad said, you want a bike? You get off your ass and get a job.
Okay, you've said you want whatever I do with my money, you get off your ass and get a job. Okay, I might.
He might.
All right, I love you.
Love you too.
Now, can this be true? Do you remember a preschool teacher named Marg or Margaret?
I don't remember any preschool teachers.
Hold on, let me see. Hello?
Hi, Don?
Yes.
Hi, this is Marg. I was Bart's preschool teacher.
At what school?
Epworth.
Oh, that's true. You did go to Epworth.
I don't know where I went to preschool. No, it's up to you, Dad, because from before 6, I'm...
Yeah, no, I know you don't remember. Well, listen, hi, nice to hear from you.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that as a 4-year-old, Bart was a wonderful child, and I'm sure he still is. And he's just a typical teenager.
I know, honey. I know, honey. It doesn't mean I can't be,
frustrated. This is, be nice to this lady who calls, who remembers that he was both of you. Be nice to the old lady who's calling. Come on now.
Come on, Bonnie. Cut me a break. I'm not an old lady.
All right, well, sorry. Now I'm calling.
Now, you called her an old lady.
All right, I was trying to help out here.
She was
trying to be Mr. Helper.
Listen, thank you very much, Martin.
Maybe what you say about Bart being nice to, other people, maybe that's not true after all, but at least as a 4-year-old, he was terribly nice.
He's nice.
Very polite.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
What do you say, Martin?
Thank you.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank
you for calling. Thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, God. You too. Jesus. Yeah. Look at these two together.
Which two?
Both of you.
What, me and Bart?
Daddy and Sonny.
Chip and Block.
All right. Sweet little old lady calls to say he was in here like, who are you?
Okay.
I don't remember. Go away.
All right, I love you. Get out of here. You're only going to be here till when?
I don't know.
Was it Friday? You graduate a week from Friday, so you when are you going to wind up the senior project?
Oh, I don't know. I think Friday.
See?
I think Friday is my last day.
All right, thank you. What do you got there?
I carted something up, so I brought it in.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay.
From airplane? Oh, I think do we have this already?
We do.
We've got it.
Charlie didn't tell me.
There you go, we've got it. Thank you. We got a break. I love you, son. Get out of here.
I tell you, I know your dad feels the same way, Barb, but it's been fun having you around. It has been amusing. It's been really a trip down every emotional lane you can imagine. It really has.
Really got a break. It really effed us on the time, and I apologize, Mike.
Don't apologize to me. You apologize to that preschool teacher.
Her? Yeah. All right, honey.
She, he was a wonderful boy. Okay.
Thanks for calling. we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Coming soon, another great idea from the minds who thought that moving Don and Mike would be a good idea. The 11 a.m. hour, soon to be live on 106.7 WJFK.
I don't ask much from you, girl. Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to? Why can't you treat me like I would be treated by any stranger on the street? Because I am not one of your fans!
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, what happened? Is anyone listening?
They go together like rubber balls and liquor. Don and Mike.
Right, right.
Who the f*** do you think you're dealing with?
Here we go. I got it under control now. I mean, time-wise, yeah. We're okay.
Okay, good.
And we still have plenty of time for the news and the comments.
Good.
Here you go. This is the weekend, then Mike's weekend. You don't want to hear that. And then if we have time, the Stallion on today's show.
Mm. Simply, that's the tease, the Stallion. Hmm.
I will, I'll condense my weekend because I had so much of it right there just in front of you. Bart went to his prom, obviously, on Saturday night.
Right.
And then Frida and I left because, frankly, that's the way things are going now, is that he's his own guy and, you know, we're speed bumps for him. So he was there with his friends, Rob and Carrie. And
true friend.
We were up at the beach, and only a couple of things. We went to, we were going to go see Bruce Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there, and of course, because the weather was raining and it was crappy, Bruce Almighty was sold out.
Naturally.
About this, though, that I heard today, you know, everybody went to see it at Beat the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, at some point in Bruce Almighty, they give out a phone number for God.
I like to think the Matrix beat itself, Don.
You got this during the news buzz?
Not coming up. I did something just came over the wire about the phone number, though.
Okay, give it to Robbie, then, because I want to do a bit with it. Anyway, they give out the number in the movie, but instead of it being where they say you can call God, Morgan Freeman, instead of it being like a 555 number,
which they always do,
they give out a real number.
Yeah.
What were they thinking? Well, there's some broad down in Florida who's getting like 20 phone calls an hour now from people who want to talk to God.
Sure. I can't believe that they would do something that it would have to be planned.
Universal Pictures has no comment.
So rather than...
That's it. It's a scam.
You know what? I don't think so because...
Well, how could they possibly let that go?
Well, I didn't see the movie, so I can't tell you the context.
I mean, I would think that that's a publicity.
I did see the movie, and I was shocked when I saw the phone number. I shocked not to see the 555 and wondered if maybe that was a number that had been set up by the studio. A lot of times that happens with a song or a movie. They give you a real number.
That is so studio PR.
Well, yeah, and usually when you call that number, you get some kind of advertising recording. You call this number, you get a real lady.
Yeah, that's irritating.
That is totally PR.
Yeah, but isn't it totally lawsuit on her part?
Yeah. Yes, just of course, and they would know that before they let that release. This is what. How many people are going to say, "Man, I want to go see that phone number now"? If this gets to be a big story, then people will want to go see the movie for that reason. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's the matter? Do I look like a? You're giving me that I'm raining on your parade look there.
No. I don't think that the woman in Florida is in on it.
Any major motion picture, that type of thing, is checked, and rechecked.
I disagree.
Especially a phone number.
How many times have you seen a movie where, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where that scene where he's pulling out all the chains?
Right.
and you can just...
That's the continuity error. That's true.
Same thing I'm saying with his phone number.
Idiots, I guess.
Then why wouldn't the studio have a comment on it?
Well, because they're pending litigation, I would think.
No way!
The number also matches
the
telephone.
Absolutely not. I disagree.
Buzz, what is the rest of the story?
A South Carolina woman apparently has the same phone number, different area code, I'm sure, and it's also the same number for a call center to a group of Colorado radio stations.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean,
got the story now.
Yeah, right.
The seven-digit phone number in the film belongs to Dawn Jenkins of Florida.
Right.
And to a radio station in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And to an elderly woman in South Carolina.
Right.
Depending on what area code you put in front of this number.
Does it have an area code in the
movie?
I don't recall.
It went by quickly. I was just surprised not to see the 555.
Anyway, Mike, in Florida and in Colorado and in South Carolina, all three numbers have been flooded with phone calls since the movie opened Friday, and all three are considering legal action against the film's maker, Universal Studios. A spokesman with the phone company says they can install a call-blocking feature, but changing their numbers may be the best alternative for the people who have these phones.
Right. All right. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think it's a scam.
All right.
But anyway, we were going to go see Bruce Almighty, and it was sold out. So we went to see the in-laws, and we saw Michael Douglas's incredible stretched-out face, and Albert Brooks, who is always funny. And the movie's not bad. It didn't even make the top 10, so the movie's just a friggin' dog. And I don't want to make every time I go to the movies a bitch session. And I didn't think I'd have any complaints because, obviously, the demos at the in-laws were different than, like, Bruce Almighty.
Yeah.
Where there were people our age and younger at the in-laws, it was all the people who go to the, you know, the 4 o'clock area code. Or, hold on, the 4 o'clock dinner, because, you know, they're putting stuff up on the screen here, and I'm trying to go between what I'm thinking about and what I'm seeing on the screen.
What's on the screen?
For instance, Joe has on line number 4 right now.
Joe.
And I see on line number 4, there's nothing. But it said, in the movie, they don't give out an area code.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, then that's
the case.
Well, hell, that's maybe that. Now, see, that seems to me to be more.
Is that what everybody's calling about? Hello, Don and Mike. Well, Joe, for God's sake, if you get these calls, put them through. Hello.
What really bugs me is the people who think they can actually call and talk to God.
Hold on, and here once again is spokesman, my son.
I saw the movie last night with Mom.
And
you don't see an area code. It's on a beeper.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Thank you, bud.
Right.
So, anyway, what do you think now?
About what?
About
scam?
You think that it's a scam?
Yeah.
I think it's a dumb, I still think it's a dumb continuity error.
I think that,
if you put out a phone number with no area code, you gotta think that there are people in America who have that phone number.
But I think that the legal beagles would say that, without an area code, it is not that person's phone number.
I was thinking about this when I saw, there's a movie called The Score with Robert De Niro and Ed Burns.
Right.
And at one point, Robert De Niro says, call me. My number is 548-12. And if you go back and you turn the volume up all the way.
You can hear it?
You hear the number that he gave out.
Well, I think I think you get movies where they give out phone numbers without an area code. If it was, if the area code was included, there would be a legal leg to stand on. But if they're giving a number out without the area code...
Well, then why don't they all do that instead of the 555, which we all know is fake?
You know, I don't know. But, I mean, it'll be interesting to track that and find out. I'd really be interested to see everybody keep on top of this.
They are getting publicity.
Hey, Don and Mike, hello?
Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, that same number works in Wichita, too, someplace.
I would imagine that number works probably all over the country.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What are the first three digits?
776.
The number works in Wichita, but you have to crank the phone 4 times
and talk to Sarah.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
This isn't about the phone call.
Okay.
But Friday night, I'm watching Jay Leno, and they did the big lie on Jay Leno Friday night.
Did they really?
Jay Leno had people in the audience look into the camera, tell the person they were lying to and what the lie was, and then he won a prize.
All right. That's
did they call the people up, though, to tell them that they...
No, they ain't that far.
Not on Happy Jay.
No.
But that would get in the way of the bright colors.
I love it. Hey, you know, I'll tell you something about Jay, though. My wife made me watch this movie over the weekend. I'll get to that in a second. In-laws.
Riffs.
Here's my complaint with the in-laws. When you go to a movie with old people, they sneeze, they wheeze, they cough, they can't hear, and you can't get mad at them because they're old. We were sitting in front of these people.
Rob can.
What, Robbie?
I was going to say, you could do the same experiment, but to a much greater degree. Do what I did. Go see Down with Love and watch how they cannot go 20 minutes without peeing. Unfortunately, we were seated right by the exit aisle, and I don't know how they could follow the plot, because they're old anyway, and then they're in and out the whole
right.
movie.
But I couldn't even get mad at these people, because it was a guy...
But you love old people.
It was a guy...
That's your secret. I won't let it out.
Thank you, Mike.
There's a guy back there who was blowing his nose, and Siri sit right behind us. It was like this. It was... And then when he got done with it, he started doing this thing, though.
Oh, my God.
And I looked over at my wife, and she just said, no.
Don't even think about it.
Because Buzz
yeah.
was in the same movie as we saw Anger Management.
Same theater. Still smell like Pine Sol?
Yeah, no, it was a different one in the...
Different screen.
I wouldn't be thinking about the movie if I heard that. I would be thinking about...
SARS! So, yeah, the people talking and... The one guy, the thing that's funny, is that there's a beep sound four rows behind us. And I turn to Fried and I say, you know, I'm not going to say anything to anybody about the sneezing and the wheezing and the coughing. And they're old, so they're going to talk. But really, no beepers or cell phones. They run an ad.
Yeah.
They run the thing with... I don't know what movie star it is, but they run like a little mini movie now before the movies that tells you don't do this. Well, as it turns out, it was the guy's medical alert.
Oh,
the guy,
dear.
The guy's pacemaker was giving out on him.
Oh.
Now, he's
fine. How did you do it? Did they whisk him out or what?
Well, everybody in the theater is talking about it. During the in-laws. You know, the guy, you just hear this, beep, 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 beep.
Don't do a dying on us.
And eventually, it stopped, and then I hear, as people are talking in the movie, well, his health alert was going off. He had a problem with his pacemaker. Did they call an ambulance? Well, I don't know if they called an ambulance.
Oh, my God.
And at that point, I'm actually hoping they'll turn down the volume on the movie.
So you get a better show in the theater.
So I can hear this. So the movie was okay. Yeah. And then
you stayed through it? It wasn't a walkout?
No.
I heard some horrible reviews.
It wasn't a walkout. And here's the thing, that Albert Brooks, you know, I'm gay for Albert Brooks anyway.
Yeah, well, and he's a very funny guy.
He's great in that role,
mm-hmm.
but the other guy, Michael Douglas, and even though he doesn't do a bad job,
right?
Here's my problem with Michael Douglas, the same problem I have with Walter Matthau, or I did before he died. Is he dead?
Yes.
Michael Douglas has had so many face surgeries and facelifts now that his face, it's like new and improved Joker product.
Right, right.
When you see him, it's like, now I know he's banging Catherine Zeta-Jones, and I know that, you know, he's got to appear young,
yeah,
but he's not a young guy.
Now, how old is he? He's in his 60s, right?
Yeah. And his face, he's raising up and tight like this. And he's in the scene in Albert Brooks, where they're supposed to be about the same age, and in real life they are.
Right.
And Albert Brooks is old and flabby and has his, you know, hair falling out and looks like a mess. And Michael Douglas comes in wearing these Armani suits. Oh, and it was Jack Lemmon, not Walter Matthau.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, Walter Matthau.
Who had the facelift.
I was thinking when you said that, not Walter Matthau. I think Walter Matthau actually had his face pulled out.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, there's a scene in Casino where they give out a 7-digit phone number when De Niro's talking to James Wood.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, hey. Mike.
Yeah.
Not every area has mandatory 10-digit dialing. In some areas, they still can get through with just 7 numbers.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's true.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So you know what? In that case, if it wasn't but it still would be, I don't know.
Do you know this?
You technically wouldn't necessarily need to dial it if you were within that area code.
Right.
But technically, I think to give it out, you would have to give out the area code and phone number to make it actionable. I would believe that would be the case.
Michael Douglas is 2 years older than his father-in-law.
Really?
And that is a fact that has just been IM'd to me.
Zeta-Jones is...
Michael Douglas is 2 years older than Catherine Zeta-Jones' father.
That, you know, as a father of two daughters, and you know, I'm getting a shotgun if that happens.
Okay, hold on.
But as a single man who is staring at 44...
There you go.
I say, rah-rah.
Hello, Tiger.
And one thing to Michael Douglas and to all actors that are traveling the world when they're promoting their movies,
yes.
Beware... of SARS.
SARS! Hey, and you know we're getting screwed, incidentally?
I don't know
if you know this. Dude, stupid women's soccer is coming back to America because we can't have it in China this year.
Really?
Because of SARS.
SARS!
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 And this is bad for you. Why?
Because I didn't buy into the hype 4 years ago when they said
when
Brandi Chastain took her shirt off and had the sports bra, this is going to change the way we look at sports and change everything.
Who said that?
Everybody. Everybody said that, Mike. They said it.
They.com.
I got called on that this weekend. So
they.
Well, they say, who's they?
You know who said that?
Who?
Fox's Steve Doocy.
We got a break. We'll be right back. More weekend stuff coming up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The 5 o'clock whistle's done a blink. The whistle won't blow, and what do you think? My pop is still in the factory, 'cause you don't know what time it happens to be. La da 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 da.
What you got in the basket, gorgeous?
I got a little bunny rabbit which I've taken to my grandma's to have, see?
Wow, not a bad pair of stins for a rabbit.
Yeah, and he's got a cute face too, see?
The Don and Mike Show. Dogs love cheese, and people love the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, tomorrow we're giving away a trip to Las Vegas to go to UFC Meltdown.
All right.
United Fighting Championship.
Guys
pounding each other.
Mean guys, tough guys.
UFC Meltdown, Friday, June 6th, live from Las Vegas on pay-per-view. Chuck takes on Randy for the interim UFC light heavyweight title. Call Cox Cable to order. What?
That just sounds a little... doesn't sound tough. You know, Chuck takes on Randy.
Well, I need pronunciation with the last name.
The names are impossible.
They are?
Yeah.
We went through this last
time. Are they those Brazilian guys?
No, Little or Lytle or Liddell.
Yeah.
The other guy's name is either...
Well, if you want to make it tough, it would be Chuck Liddell.
Or it's Randy Couture or Randy Couture. And I know that whenever we say this...
Couture.
If I give it out wrong, though, like the people that are into UFC call up and they go...
Chuck Liddell against Randy Couture.
Hey, faggot, you got it wrong.
Yeah. But do you think I got it right with that pronunciation?
I don't know.
We'll find out, I guess.
Wouldn't you think that even if they had a different pronunciation, they'd make it a little tougher sounding, and that would be Chuck Liddell against Randy Couture.
I like just Chuck and Randy.
As if it's like Randy Couture.
What? Chuck and Randy.
Well, Chuck and Randy sounds like somebody.
Charles and Randolph. Okay. The weekend.
Yeah.
I'm just flying here because we were trying to get to everything because the show's been, you know, out of control today. My wife, you know, and this ties into earlier with Bart. The whole thing with her is that she's got empty nest syndrome, and I'm having... Hi, baby.
Well, hi, sweet pea.
I'm really overcompensating, and I think I'm doing a pretty decent job of this, of being, you know, there for my wife, being, you know, devoting all attention to her.
Good.
Well, what she wants to do, I try to do it. Even on Sunday night, when I've got to watch this because our son's in the building, I don't want to oogie him out. But when there was time for marital obligations, normally my come-on is fine. We're laying in bed and we're watching TV and I just kind of
No, it's never, I normally don't tell you, but I told, I mean, but it was a simple adjustment, and you made it very well, and everybody's happy.
I
should be more honest with you.
I just, like, and, start feeling her up.
Yeah,
and,
which, you know, just the grab and mangle. And
grab is not the right word.
Yes, it is.
It's
pretty
a caress.
Much, yeah, well, it's just out of the blue, squeeze.
Yeah. Here's the thing. My wife is like all women. What she does is she teases all the time, like all day. My wife, who's a handsome woman, you know, would wear a shirt that's, you know, and it was cold, so she was nipply. And then she got the belly shirt going, and like all day.
You say I was teasing you all day?
Yes.
Just by wearing clothes?
Yes, but wearing clothes that show off what you got.
It wasn't intentional.
I know, and like she'd be making a sandwich or something, I'd walk.
It was a sweatsuit, darling. It's not like I wasn't in like garters.
Yeah, sweatsuits work.
Yeah, but it was like that. It was like that J-Lo type sweatsuit. Don't get the wrong impression.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, that's why I said that.
It's like that
sweats work.
It's like that velour thing.
I was wearing some kind of Miss Kitty outfit.
So I, you know, like when she was making a
that works too.
When she was making a sandwich in the kitchen, I would walk up behind her and, you know, cop a feel. And
have you ever worn a Miss Kitty outfit?
No, I don't have one.
All right,
that's kind of my come on during the day is when I'll make my advances during the day.
I'd be afraid to wear a Miss Kitty. I mean, if a sweatsuit, if this happens with a sweatsuit, I'd be afraid to wear a Miss Kitty outfit.
So I make my advances all day. Like, I cop a feel whenever I can, and she always says, no, tonight. So anyway, we're in bed, and I make my move, and then she says, you know what, I need more than that. I need more than just you putting your hand on my bosom. I need to be caressed.
Well, I think I said cuddled.
Cuddle. Cuddled was the word.
Cuddled is, you know, I have been remiss in not telling you that for the past 20 whatever years.
Cuddling.
That cuddling is always, you got to work your way up to that. I mean, it's like, even when you were a boy, you didn't just go right, you know, you didn't go right for the good stuff. You worked your way up there.
How long you got to be married before you can just have sex? But anyway, because, you know, my wife's going through this thing, I cuddle. I cuddle.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to torture you.
No, baby, it's fine. I'm goofing around. So we cuddle, and then we, you know, we do it. Bless you. Thank you. And I'm trying.
Excuse me.
I'm trying so hard not to be as fast as I always am.
Trying to be an attentive lover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm trying.
Sorry.
But she makes it impossible.
Why did I participate in?
And here's the thing that makes it impossible is that. Man, do I love me the dirty talk. Oh, God, I love it. And I notice that she's figured out that it's the way to make the elevator go to the top floor immediately.
I like to make you happy. I do it because I know you like it.
So it's like we get going and I'm thinking, you know, okay, don't think about this. Don't look at her. Just let's do it. What's on TV, even though it's muted. What's it? And then she says, like, you know, and it's like, I say, and how great is this with our sex life? First thing I say before I think, I go, I'm sorry, it's going to happen. And then she says, no, that's fine. And then it happens. And then again, the first thing I say is, I'm sorry. You know, you should know that. You talk that way, and it's like...
I will try and talk about household chores next time.
No, I like that. Anyway, here's
She'll
my point.
Empty the dishwasher.
Here's my point with this, that I'm... Because my wife is going through whatever this empty nest thing is, or whatever we're going to call it, I'm being more attentive, and I'm really trying. So on Saturday night, she wants to go to this new restaurant in Ocean City, because she doesn't like going to the places that I usually like going to, like J&R's, you know? I mean, J&R's just the rib place.
Ribs.
Yeah, where it's like the beginning of the Flintstones. They bring you over that big, massive amount of food.
Right.
I love it. Well, she wants to go to this place.
And you do
now,
not. You now, like to go. Unless you've been fooling me, you like to try different places and good restaurants. You don't like just the all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-stuff-yourself-with now.
No, I don't. No,
I said about Don for years, he likes to experiment.
Well, no, I don't, listen, I really don't, but with my wife, I've made an effort.
Well, she is the recipient of what I was looking for in the city of Manhattan for an entire year.
Well, if you would just let him grab your... Every once in a while.
Now, you think I can do this without saying the name of the place? Because I'm going to kind of give them a plug.
Well, you don't have to say. You don't have to say the name of the place.
So she's reading in the newspaper that there's this, and it's not really a newspaper. It's the Ocean City paper. It's the free newspaper you get in the.
But I will tell you that I know that you are really making changes then if you're going to experiment, because you don't like to do that.
No, I don't. I like to eat the same thing. I like to have sex the same way.
You could go to the same restaurant if you liked it, if it was good, and you liked it, you could eat there every time you went out.
That could be the only time I went out to eat. But anyway, so she says...
Steak and Bake House.
She reads in this paper you get in the grocery store, there's a new restaurant, and it's supposed to be very trendy. And now keep in mind, Ocean City, I love Ocean City, but it's the land of white trash, and I'm right there. I'm the king of the white trash.
Right.
But she says, well, I want to go to this new place. I say, okay, I'll give it a try. Well, we go to this joint, and first off, we can't find it because it's so trendy, they don't have a sign for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything
else. That's good when it's trendy.
Everything else, you got the big neon signs, right. You know, all you can eat buffet.
Eat free, comforting.
Right. Well, we pull up, and we're in front of the place, and I go, now, I don't see the sign for this place. There's the T-shirt shop. There's the pizza place, there's the liquor store, and then finally we see just this entire black cement entryway that has no sign or no nothing. So we figure, this must be the trendy restaurant. We go in and we open the door, and I ask you not, the inside of this restaurant, they're going for a look, and this is how I would describe the look. The look is that of Dr. Evil's lair.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk
very modern.
When you walk inside, there are no windows.
Would you like the potato skins?
There are absolutely no windows in this place.
Are you sure you don't belong at the T-shirt shop?
There are flat screen TVs with no sound.
And that's why I thought, actually, you know, when I saw, as soon as I saw that there were flat screen TVs, I thought it'd a place you'd like.
They are showing the movie Doctor No. Get it? Because it's like a crazy, campy,
futuristic
science fiction movie. No windows.
May I interest you in a cocktail?
The lighting is very dim.
Was there anybody in there with a shaved head?
No, as a matter of fact, we were the only people in there.
Well, okay. It just opened a couple of days ago.
My wife and I were the only people in there. Now, I'm on this diet that's been going great for me, but here's how it works. I have a protein shake in the morning, then one for lunch, and another one like halfway through the day.
And then look out at dinner time.
Well, no, I just want to have a sensible dinner.
Right, and you don't want to, and I don't blame you. I'm not, and it's working for you, so right, but you don't want to wait.
And
you want a real dinner. I mean, yep. You've looked forward to that one meal all day. I don't blame you.
And it's only been exercising my ass off. Even my wife will tell you, I go to the gym with her, man, I'm on that treadmill, I'm running, I'm getting it done. And the point is that you do all that crap, if you're going to have one meal a day, and I'm not going to pig out, but I just want a regular meal.
It better be big.
Well, now, here's what they bring by. And this was worse than when we went to Iceland. I ordered a Caesar salad and ravioli. So I figured, hey, this could be my payoff. I'm not going to overeat, but I'm going to have a nice big meal. The Caesar salad was exactly three pieces of lettuce. and I'm not kidding, and Frida, that's why she's on the phone, saying I'm not making this up. Three pieces of lettuce, rather large pieces, but three.
Mm-hmm.
And two croutons. That's it.
Yeah. Right.
I'm done with this like in a bite.
Of course.
Beautifully presented and very tasty.
But this is it.
Is it lovely
needed
pieces
more
of romaine lettuce like flayed out there? Or
yeah.
The three pieces, but they're three pieces. You know, salad to me is more than three pieces of lettuce, no matter how beautiful the presentation
right,
is.
Right, right.
So then I'm still not mad. I'm saying, well, I'm going to wait until the ravioli gets here.
Yeah, and in Ocean City, you mostly get like the salad bowl that never empties, you know?
The Olive Garden. I'm all for that. Now they bring over my entree, the ravioli. Small, it's like a kiddie plate. It's like a saucer. They bring this thing on a saucer. It's got three ravioli on it.
He's a kitty, but not kitty cat. I go to
cut one of these things open with my fork, and a cherry tomato pops out of the middle of it. And I'm actually looking inside the ravioli going, where's like the stuff that...
Where's the good stuff?
What happened?
Well, there was no...
What happened?
There was no good stuff.
Cherry tomato.
There was no good stuff.
So
it was. You have to say it was not big, but it was good. And my dinner for a person who hadn't starved myself all day, mine was the perfect amount, but it was small.
We got done with this place, and not cheap, incidentally.
Of course,
really not cheap.
Fun. You got quality, not quantity.
Really not cheap. We got done. We went. And we rented a video, and I stopped at Subway to get a sub.
Yeah.
Because I was so pissed at this place. And the owner, John, is very nice, and it's up by 92nd Street in Ocean City, and it's
a wonderful restaurant.
I mean, it sounds like it's a gourmet restaurant.
You can't go ravenous.
Let me just say, if you're Dieter from Sprockets, you're going to love it.
Well, could you have done more courses? Do you think that's what might have done it?
You could have had the extra cheese course.
Not at those prices, Mike.
Really?
None of those prices.
So, I mean, that was your entree, was your ravioli.
That was it.
Wow.
That was it, and I had the salad, and then it was...
And then you had a dessert, which was...
Oh, they say, now for your dessert, do you want raspberry tarts? And they go, yeah, what the hell, bring it on.
Sounds good.
Right? Well, roughly the size of a quarter, each one of them. And the guy comes over and says, the chef recommends that you eat them in the order that they're on the plate, which is you go from the one on the left to the one in the middle to the one on the right.
Was that when you reached, lifted up the plate and kind of shook them all into your mouth?
If the chef had laid them out on the trail, he would have followed them all the way into the kitchen.
Okay, then we went to Subway, and I was just...
What sub did you get at Subway?
Whatever the low,
you did the 5 grams of fats.
But those are fine.
All right,
that's great. So we get done with that, and then we rented a movie, and I didn't think I'd like it, but you should rent the movie Comedian with Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, really?
Because
I actually would like to see that.
It actually shows Jerry as kind of an a-hole.
Yeah.
He wasn't so much an a-hole, just insecure and person who works hard for it. You know, it's not just handed to him on a silver platter.
It's funny to see how nutty Jerry Seinfeld
is.
I think
most comedians have an edge, and, they're kind of, they're not the warm and fuzzy guys that you see on stage.
Mm-mm. So anyway,
Seinfeld ever was.
That was our weekend. And overall, I think it was not bad, right?
No, it was a good time. And when you're talking about people that have to get up a million times to pee, you're looking at them, Mike.
Oh, well, listen, here's the thing. Part of when you're
drinking a lot of water
when
and
you're weight conscious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I had like a liter of water before we went.
Yeah, but your medical alert thing didn't go off, right?
No, it did not. And when we got to the theater, I said, I got to pee. And then at one point again, I said, I got to pee again. And she says to me, what, are you doing coke?
Yeah, I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I'm doing coke. Excuse me while I go to the bathroom and do some more coke. I got news for you. If I did coke, I would be a lot thinner.
Yeah, I know, and you wouldn't have to go to Subway.
All right, baby. I'll see you. I love you. So,
I love you too. You're a good guy.
And so are you. Overall, even with the crappy weather, and I know you hate the crappy weather, how would you rate the weekend?
Oh, we had it. I was sorry to have it end.
Yeah, we had a nice weekend.
Yeah.
We did.
All right.
See you, baby.
Bye-bye.
And when I was at the beach, we're not going to have time for this today, but I'll tease it in a future segment. There's a guy who does a cable access show. It's not really even cable access. It's on every hour if you have cable TV. The guy's name is The Stallion.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's a long story. I'll get to in a second because I want to get to Mike's weekend. And we have someone on the phone who says she was with you this weekend.
Mm.
Do you not want me to take the
call? No, I never say. They should know that in the back, not somebody on hold. No good can come of that. Trust me, I'm going to recap my weekend. I don't want to speak to anyone that I was with this
weekend. Did you hear that? Mike doesn't want to talk to you. Hello?
Just as well.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. On behalf of Mike, please don't call if you've been with him at a function with other people.
There we go.
Over the weekend.
Absolutely. And trust me on this one. Okay. Hit it.
Okay.
There you go.
I hung up.
Not that I did anything that I would be ashamed of this weekend.
We come back.
It's, I guess, the little index card that's up above the phones that says, when Mike's been at a party all weekend long, don't take any calls from anyone that was there. I guess that little note got ignored by the people in the back.
I've not seen it back. Did you put it up there?
No, but I will.
Okay. We are
in the next break.
Anyway, it's Mike on a boat, so you know you're going to want to hear it.
For 48 hours.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Silly dilly dokio. I'm an idiot. Yeah, that's true.
The Don and Mike Show. You
can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What do you think, Addy?
Is anyone listening?
Come and enjoy their world-famous love acts. Yeah. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
For your weekend, Mike, I think we'll set up what I'm going to say for tomorrow. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hey, just to mention that stallion, two words for that guy.
Yeah.
Bingo, baby.
Right.
Is he obnoxious or what?
Now, I'm just going to tease
you. You rolled a little tape on Stallion?
Yeah. I've been talking about this guy for maybe 10 years. If you go to Ocean City, Maryland, and I love it. You know, I got a place there. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, after a while, especially when the weather's bad,
mm-hmm.
you go through the cable channels, like 50 channels, and there's really nothing on. Mm-hmm. So you end up on Channel 12 in Ocean City.
The information channel.
Which is the resort video guide.
For everything that's going on. Right.
And they have a show called the Stallion Sports Show. And I've always thought this guy really was just everything Ocean City in one. He's a swinging dick. He's an idiot. He yucks like the worst disc jockey you've ever heard.
Right.
Fancies himself as kind of a younger Dick Vitale.
Well, it would seem to me anyone that would name himself the Stallion.
Yeah. And is as dumb as a box of rocks. He has something called the Stallion Sports Show.
Yes.
In which he... he talks, well, he's got a lucid guy with him who's trying to walk him through this,
mm-hmm.
and he talks about sports. The problem is it's taped like on a Tuesday, and they run it all weekend. So on the one that I'll play for you, not today, but I'll give you just a taste of it. Oh, and the guy's trademark is, bingo, baby, including an arm movement.
Gotcha.
Bingo. Like, bingo, baby. And the guy's just a giant douchebag.
Because what happened was taken.
And on the one that they were running this weekend, they were talking about Anna Sorensen.
Annika
Sorensen. And one of the guys was saying, I think she's going to make the cut.
Right.
And the other guy's saying, I don't think she's going to make the cut.
Right.
Well, you know, they'd already been played.
Right.
And then they
forgot about that.
They talk about the NBA playoffs. Oh, I got you $40. That's what
I wasn't going to bring. We would have gone through the whole show, and I wouldn't have remembered.
No, I said you earlier. Did you want to go double to nothing on our Amazon bet?
That's right. That's right. For
if it was going to rain on Saturday or not.
Oh, okay.
Or Friday or not.
Mm-hmm. If it's going to rain on Friday?
Yeah, because
at some point, it will rain on Friday.
No, but I mean heavy downpour rain.
It's a tough bet to make.
Well, let me know, because I got you $40.
Subjectively. No, I'll take the payoff right now.
Okay. I went to the bank. I got your money. You know, just because I had faith in her and you didn't.
There you go.
There's your.
I would have loved to see her win.
Sure you would have.
I would have, but I just knew she wasn't. I mean, not win, make the cut.
Right. There's your $40. So, on the Stallion Sports Show, and to call it a sports show is just, it's a joke. Another thing they're talking about is the NBA playoffs.
Right.
And he's talking about how, even though Detroit has lost the first game against New Jersey, he really is positive that Detroit's going to come back.
So he looks like an idiot when they're running this thing on the weekend.
Yeah. Right, because New Jersey's already won 4-0.
Right.
And he's pompous. He's a moron. He's got this catchphrase. He appears to be drunk while they're filming these things on location, these little vignettes at these bars that he's at.
Right.
And I've been watching him for about 10 years on the resort video guide, and have come back and goofed on him. And it was only this weekend that I finally had the time, because the weather was so bad,
right,
to tape it.
Stallion.
And I'm not going to have time to play you the whole thing today, but I'll play you the whole show tomorrow, and we'll go to his website.
Very good.
But anyway, here's what he's all about. Here's the opening to the show where he reads his sponsors, and you'll find what I'm talking about. He doesn't say bingo, baby, but there's everything except bingo, baby, here. This is from Ocean City Resort Video Guide, Channel 12 on cable.
Welcome to another edition of the Stallion Sports Show. The Stallion Sports Show is brought to you by the true big boys. Secrets, the Stallion's number one rated hotspot, Jamaica, USA. The king of beers, baby, is Budweiser. The Bay Cafe, the best interview at
saw a beat. Mattress Master, the Green Jacket goes to them for quality and price. Bruno's Golf, the best name brands at discount prices. Whiskey Joe's, the best life fare with a tropical flair. Toyota, simply the best built car in this galaxy. And Ocean City Golf Getaway, before you leave town, write this number down.
Wow.
Okay, so.
There he is.
Quality. And then here's just a little bit of what this is about. This is like a 10-minute thing, but he's so Ocean City.
Welcome back to the Stallion Sports Show right here on the Resort Video Guide. And Stallion,
that's not the DJ that's with
Whiskey Joe's. If Sunday's not enough fun for our viewers out there, be sure and come back on Wednesday. As Wednesday will be your first bikini contest of the season. The Stallion, of course, will be your host.
Absolutely. And hopefully, Bobby, you'll be my first judge. But that's a big deal for us this year. It turned out great last year. I'll be your host every Wednesday right around 5 o'clock. So,
you would think after 10 years, maybe there'd be some improvement.
No. New seafood buffet. Not too many.
Let me just fast forward this a little bit.
Well, then we'll miss some.
Well, no, you're going to hear it tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Good.
To advance against Sacramento. If Chris Webber's there, they don't advance.
No, they were the prohibitive favorite, Sacramento was, along with the Lakers, but the San Antonio is really going into.
Okay, they're trying to talk about basketball here.
The defense. The only way they had a shot against Sacramento.
This is a Stallion now.
Defense, and they can't play pressure defense and run and gun that way against the big man all the time. So even though San Antonio is a 4-1 favorite over a team to won 60 games.
Wow. They're so bad.
Going to take the odds because you can always get out.
I tell you what, Tim Duncan, the league MVP, certainly had an outstanding year. He's like a fine wine. He just seems to get better every year. This guy is a consummate pro, had a great series against Lakers, and you got to believe he's going to be dominant in this series as well.
Absolutely. All the guys are from the ACC. The Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl this year for all you Pennsylvanians coming down. I want you Steelers so bad I can taste it. And the Ravens had a big draft. We got a...
Now, what he's done there is the other guy's trying to keep him on track.
Yeah.
And he's just going right... Tim Duncan, and this guy's screaming, ECC! Ravens!
Stallion.
Yeah, he's talking about the Ravens.
Mm-hmm. The quarterback. Oh, we're going to be there. Ray Lewis is back.
The beauty of the Stallion. He's talking about the NBA Finals and somehow we get to the Ravens.
I want the Ravens. I want them.
You know you cannot do the Stallion Sports Show without him bringing up the Ravens, but they did have an excellent draft, and it's a very exciting this year for the Ravens.
Absolutely. Going to the 3-4, and we played the Steelers the first game and the last game. Somebody's going to get knocked out on the last game of the season.
Okay, that's all the time we have from beautiful.
Wow.
Anyway.
And the other guy's little Ocean City, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other guy,
you know,
compared to the Stallion, the other guy is like Dick Enberg.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Welcome to another edition of the Stallion Sports Show. The Stallion Sports Show is brought to you by
Big Brew. Listen to these reads.
Secrets, the Stallion's number one rated hotspot, Jamaica, USA.
The Stallion's number one rated hotspot, Jamaica, USA. And you got to see, tomorrow we'll go to the website, because you've got to see... First off, you have to see the arm movement. Like, you know how Michael Jordan would pump his fist when he would score a basket? It's like that, except it's much more pronounced, and he goes, bingo, baby! And you go to his website, and it says, welcome to the Stallion Sports Show on Comcast Cable. Hi, I am Barry Stribe, originally from Baltimore, and I'm well known on the East and Eastern Shore as... The Stallion.
Of course.
What is a lock of the galaxy? It's a pick in which there's no higher percentage play in the universe. Blah, blah, blah. College football is my specialty. The NFL is my specialty. The Stallion's philosophy on teasers. Everyone says you cannot win at teasers and it's a sucker bet. If everyone hates them, the Stallion loves them.
Wow.
And then the last thing in very big letters... Bingo, baby. I am the greatest sports analyst in this galaxy. Bar none.
There he is. Right.
The Stallion Sports Show.
The picture of a horse.
Yeah. And you got to see the guy, because the guy is just the doofiest looking guy in the world. Tomorrow, Mike, we'll bring in the video so you can see.
Hello.
Good.
He gets going, and he starts, and the Stallion, and it's out of the Stallion's number one spot.
And at one point, Rob and I were watching the tape earlier, the other guy's just talking about the NBA playoffs, And Stallion has a can of beer in his hand, a can of Budweiser. And the other guy's saying, yeah, and it's a really exciting time in the NBA. And he just goes, King! He's holding a can of Budweiser beer.
King of beers.
The guy is a major tool. I cannot tell you how many years I've gone to Ocean City and watched this guy on local cable access.
Right.
And he's the jerk that goes like and judges the best body on the beach contest.
Does all those things.
Yeah, and he's like a local
celebrity. Is Batman still there?
DJ Batman is still there.
Still alive?
Wow. Yeah, and looking good. Get that man looking good. But this guy, the Stallion, he's the guy that I wanted to bring to you. I think he could be our next Bad Billy Warren.
There you go.
I think there's some stuff in this tape that when we are given time, we'll really be able to get to it. And look, see, now the phones are now jammed up with people who want to talk about Stallion.
All right.
Please save it for tomorrow.
Yes.
Save it for tomorrow.
Meet us here.
We'll be here tomorrow.
The Stallion.
Mike, we do have to break, but I promise the whole next segment, and we're all junked up because we were so long earlier. Next segment about your weekend?
Not very involved, Don. It's like many weekends of mine. It started out beautifully.
Hey, what happened?
And that it ended up tragically.
Mm. You were on a boat
for 2 days, solid days.
Wow. And you fell.
I had a bit of a fall.
Okay.
Here.
So the next segment, all Mike.
Didn't break anything on the boat, though.
All the time.
Thankfully.
Oh, see, didn't.
Somebody else did, but
not badly.
You didn't. You didn't fall through a.
No, I didn't put my ass through a hatch.
Okay.
But it was the same boat. I just should have stayed on it.
Okay, all Mike, will we come right back? Stay there.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The management of WJFK has come up with another idea. For the next live show on 106.7 FM. Yeah, okay. I can't wait for this one. Stay tuned. 11 a.m. Soon to be live on 106.7 WJFK.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
You've got 4 minutes to get Sabian here, or you'll find out just how serious I really am.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, for Sabian. Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
What do you think Sabian can do? He can't do anything to stop this.
America's most happening hate mongers. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to cram into a couple of days here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We got a truncated week because the holiday yesterday and Thursday, it's a day off with pay for us.
Huh.
Yeah, they have a pay.
Because the whole Remy thing.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Remy thing.
Right. So tomorrow we're giving away a trip to Vegas.
Wow.
Tomorrow it's Craig Day. It's the Stallion Day. It's Bob Hope Day.
Oh, yeah. Bob Hope 100 tomorrow.
Friday, Patton Oswalt. Jesus Christ. Daryl Hammond. We are we're really backed up here. We could really use a live show Thursday.
We could use a laxative.
Mike, you had a great Memorial Day weekend on the water.
I did. I did. Okay. I did indeed.
You tell.
Well, I think if anybody remembers, I had mentioned that, weather be damned, that this weekend my
you
buddies...
You did say that on Friday. Mm-hmm.
My buddies and I, we were going to go out, we were going to have a good time no matter what. We were going to go out, we were going to just party like it was night say die to die, no matter what. It was going to be fun, and I did exactly that. I did not make it... I didn't make it through the whole 3 days, though.
Oh, three days on a boat?
I didn't make it. Memorial Day, I was home recuperating just as well. Saturday, it started. Saturday afternoon, a bunch of my buddies and I, we got together on the boat that I hang out on. And
you have a bunch of friends.
I do have good friends. Yes, friends, these are good friends. And we were festive. We had a very, very good time. It was... It was the same. I went to the same place, Tim's, this place that I go down. I'll give them a plug because they're a great place. It's right on the river, and it's just lots of fun. And if you ever want to go out and, you know, you have a boat, go down there. If you don't have a boat, go down there, too. It's
Tim's. It wasn't a...
So find Sabian.
No, it's...
Not Tim Sabian.
It's Tim's River Shore, which is...
Now get me
Sabian!
Very good name. It's not that Tim at all. As a matter of fact, this guy couldn't be any more different than the Tim we deal with.
Oh, so he's fun.
He's a lot of fun. Gotcha. And he runs a great restaurant, and we had a great time. And so we headed out probably late afternoon on Saturday, which is the beginning of the holiday, and got down there, and because of the weather, there weren't the number of people that are normally at this place, and we made our own fun. And I think that the... you know, the evening was very festive and very late, and...
that means you drank a lot.
Very well, not as much as I was going to the next day, but I didn't know that at the time. But I did, it was, you know, it was one of those evenings where you did wake up kind of feeling a little logy. And I think I woke up at about 5:30 in the morning, as I'm often wont to do on the boat, because, you know, you're out on the water, and you just, you wake up early. And I was amazed, because Saturday night, right about dinner time, you know, the clouds kind of parted. It got kind of bright and festive. And when I went to bed, I figured I'd wake up in the morning and it would be beautiful. That's what everybody thought. A lot of people, because of the forecast, thought that it was going to be gorgeous on Sunday.
Well, as we covered earlier, that's what the weather guys
said. Oh, my God. And really, depression set in for everybody when we woke up and it was just kind of like raining, heavy, steady rain. And I got an idea. My idea was, at that point, we were at the dock, and just a few people left on the boat. The captain, my buddy John, had to go to work on Saturday, and it was my idea that, what do you do with all this rain and all this depression? And maybe it was the alcohol that was coursing through my veins. Maybe it's, I said, why don't we go to Toys R Us? And we went to Toys R Us, and we bought... Wow. We bought a bunch of stuff.
You were drunk.
We bought, what did we buy? We bought a bunch of squirt guns, which like super soakers.
Super soakers.
Uh-huh. Super soakers of a various kind. And the one guy, my buddy Box, is with me, and he's kind of into it, but he's not totally into it, until the idea of the remote control boats came to and the remote control boats.
Hi, Elvis.
I think Elvis knew how to have a good time.
And Michael Jackson.
And mm-hmm. I think that's well documented. And I also got some bubble machines and Pez for everybody on the boat. So we all, you know, I picked out Pez dispensers. Yeah, I was still probably bombed.
You had to be drunk to go to Toys R Us and buy toys for your
and
male.
Masks. We got masks. I was wearing like a mask.
For
too,
your men friends.
Around. And it was fun, and it was festive, and we got back to the dock. And
just
we had
a little
races.
Code for everybody. Mm-hmm. When Mike says festive, whenever he says festive, mm-hmm. that means drunk.
Yeah.
Festive always. It's like your code.
It was very, very festive. It was very.
Wow. Your code.
The boats were very. They were. You know. They weren't the
festive.
They weren't. They were festive little boats. And really, the way the whole thing had shaped out, the hardcore of us, we were there the day before, but everybody was coming down to the boat for Sunday. Sunday was the big day, mm-hmm. and even with the bad weather, even with the inclement weather, I like to think it's because I bought the remote control boats, everybody showed up, and we went to sea once again. And for the second day, I was at this place, and this was... I would say in the year 2003, this probably is the most festive time I've managed to have.
The drunkest, then.
Well, Tim's has this deal where they got a...
Keep in mind, you had that all-nighter in Iceland.
But even that doesn't compare to this.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Wow.
It doesn't compare to this at all. Tim's has this list of that you get a T-shirt if you drink 40 of these particular shots that they have.
40?
Right? No, I didn't drink 40
shots. How many T-shirts did you get?
He said somebody did it. I think somebody did it once, and they were horribly ill. And,
sure.
I think I got maybe 8 of the 40 that were on the list. And that was, you know, in addition to the regular fun that we were having and the regular festivities that were going on here. And so with that said, you know, the day rambled on, and we had a great time. And it was like going back and forth to the boat and then going up to the restaurant and then walking down the dock to the boat and walking back to the restaurant. Finally, towards evening, as the sun was beginning to go down, we had, I think, maybe, I don't know, 2 million people on this boat. And the boat was kind of bouncing up and down because everybody was, you know, the music was blaring. And I know I was doing some very festive dancing myself. And at one point, I looked out, and there were these teenage kids that belonged to this other boat. And they were just looking at us, you know. And we were all adults, and we were all sitting there. And they were kind of looking at us enviously, and I said, you know, here I am, you know, it's been a tough year for me, but boy, this is quite fun. And they're looking, look at those youngsters, looking over at our boat, wishing that they were part of that. And I said, you know, there's plenty of time, kids. Plenty of time to enjoy this kind of kooky fun. So, at a certain point, I think the kids may have asked for an adult beverage, and we respectfully said no. Good, you know, go back. And, and that was the boat that turned out to be somewhat problematic for me. Because it was late in the day, and it had been a long day.
This
too much
Sunday.
Day.
So you've been on the boat since Saturday.
I've been on the boat since Saturday, and this is Sunday. I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly what time or even where I was, but it was. I know I was at that restaurant where the boat was, so it had to be Tim's. And I decided, as these people were getting ready to head out, and I was on the back of the boat, that I would hop up onto the dock and be Mr. Helper and push their boat out to sea as they were leaving. And so that's what you do. You kind of shove off, as they say in nautical terms. And one guy, I don't remember who was next to me, but one of our crew was pushing off the dock and pushing this boat away. And I was pushing off the stern of the boat. And I was doing it.
Was that the front or the back?
That's towards the back.
Okay.
So, you know, I was on the, the port side of this boat, and
what's that, left or right?
It was on the left side.
Okay, and left side. You're
pushing
back
off the stern, the port stern, and I was perhaps because I was filled with a great deal of festivity.
Yeah,
I didn't just, you know, I didn't give him a nudge. I gave him the Herculean push that would indicate that I'm going to
strength of 10 men.
I will push this boat all the way across to Maryland with my energy, and I leaned into it, and I leaned into it so well that the boat did push off from the dock, and I suddenly realized, as most of my body was over water at this point, that I had to do a dramatic acrobatic pirouette, or I was going to be in the water. And I know it's all fun when I tell you about horrible things that happened to me, but I did not want to go in the drink. And I pulled back kind of in midair. And at that point, my right leg slid out from under me, and I did what would amount to an acrobatic split, where my balls crushed down upon the, the worst part of it was that my leg went straight out, and all of my weight came straight down, and I heard something pop.
One of your nuts?
I thought it initially was, and it was my hamstring. Now, I didn't realize how badly I'd hurt it. It felt like a bad pull, and even after we got back to shore, I went dancing some more.
Wow.
And
you play with pain.
Yeah, and left early, and yesterday. And even more so this morning, when I woke up, and as I sit here now, I am in a great deal of agony.
Oh, dear.
This is pain I did not feel after I had injured it. As a matter of fact, I felt fine. I thought it wasn't that severe until the next morning when...
is this your worst festive fall ever?
No, I think the worst festive fall would be when I put my ass through his hatch that I had to buy and exploded the glass all over the boat.
Right.
But, you know, I just wish that I would have loved it to be someone else that had this happen, but it was me, and I'm not lying. It's the truth, and it happened. It wasn't that dramatic, you know, and I got the reaction that I always get when something, you know, just, you know, gales of laughter as I was splayed out on the dock. A wet dock, Don, because of the weather conditions, you know, a slippery, a slippery, wet dock. But it didn't take away from my good times. And for anybody late on Sunday that I may have yelled at or, been mean to, I think it was the pain of my hamstring.
That is probably,
you know. Because, you know, I always try to be charming me, but you've certainly seen me when I go a little bit beyond charming.
Not with me, Mike.
I really just start to get an edge. And it's anyone that I really don't like, you know, hears about it. That's the way that works. Just can't keep it to myself any longer. But I had a great time. It was fantastic. And I hope we have a lot more.
Oh, you will. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for coming.
Lucky to be alive.
So you are on a buzz like...
a buzz.
You're on a buzz. You're on a boat for like...
Saturday about
36 hours?
3 o'clock to... I got home somehow. I don't know. I didn't drive, but I mean, I got home.
Festive.
Love. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, goddamn.
Oh, boy.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
It's me. He made it up.
Lead story, Mike fell?
You weren't on the boat, were you, Buzz?
No, I was not on the boat.
All right, just checking.
Glad about that, actually.
Very good. Okay.
Arnold, today, top story. Arnold makes a run for the governor's mansion, but only if his wife says it's okay.
That's great.
Arnold, boy, you know what? We got a lot of calls about Mike falling through the boat or falling on the boat.
Right.
And we got a lot of calls about the stallion.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, guys, we want to do Buzz's news and comments. You're going to have to save all that for tomorrow.
Sure. You know, I'll fall again.
Or even better, I got a better idea.
Yeah.
Call on Thursday when Donald Rumsfeld is on during this time slot.
Yes, call him and ask him about my fall.
Yeah. And the stallion.
He was there.
Stay tuned now for news and comments.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
festive.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, Singular Wireless believes that even if you've got a death grip on your telephone,
you mean they can't pry your hands off of it,
and they have to cut your hand off and put it in a microwave,
right?
Like they did last great CSI Miami repeat.
To relax the grip.
Yeah, that your Singular Wireless is so great that even if you're dead and you've got the death grip, and they have to cut your hand off and microwave it, they'd still know that your Singular Wireless phone has 5,200 weekend minutes for only $24.99 a month. That's 5,009 weekend minutes and 2,200 anytime minutes. Nationwide long distance is included.
Need another great reason to cut off your hand, or in this case, switch to Singular? Sign up for a 2-year service agreement and you'll get the hot new Nokia 3560 with a color screen for only $29.99 after a $50 instant rebate. A great color phone for a great price.
Restrictions apply. See any Singular store for details.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, sorry about that commercial. I got him on a tangent. I was talking with Mike and Robbie about that CSI Miami. Mm-hmm. It was a rerun last night.
Right. Yeah, I'd seen that one before.
But it's my favorite one ever. The best CSI Miami ever, because it's the grossest.
It's the grisliest.
It's the guy who's running the crematorium is part of it.
He's got all the dead bodies in the backyard.
Like what happened in Atlanta. And at one point, they have to cut off this dude's hand because he's holding this thing that gets him into a club in South Beach. And say, well, when he died and got the rigor mortis or whatever it is, he's got the death grip.
Right.
We're not going to be able to get it out of his dead hand. And the woman says, I'll need my saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah.
First time I saw it, oh, my God, I need my saw. She saws his hand off and has to put it in the microwave. So, and you see the hand in the microwave,
right?
Slowly start to expand.
Yeah, gross.
Great.
But I mean, and how about the bodies in the backyard when they see those?
Oh.
You know, with the guys just sitting there like,
oh yeah. Man, good one. We just tied that into a commercial.
Good work. See? You know, that's because we're professionals.
Mm-hmm. Buzz's newscast brought to you by Vermax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. As you all know,
someone call for a doctor.
It's doctor developed, clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888 try VMAX. Now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger thinks the perfect time to run for governor of California is right after the release this summer of his newest Terminator movie.
What an idiot!
Isn't this all really? All of these stories just to get interest for T3.
This is I want to run for governor.
Yay!
After the movie comes out, which will be good for my career. Duh.
But only if his old lady says it's okay.
Maria will have to give me the permission. And, if she says, I'm angry with you, then I can't.
Nine!
Because I can't.
Nine,
Banka.
Quote, when I get to that point that I say I want to run, I will have that conversation with my family and my close friends.
Now, it's very important that you don't speak. I just want you to listen, understand. I've heard some rather disturbing news about you.
This is not Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is from the Hitler movie, Rob.
By the accent.
Rumor has it, I'm to be used as target practice.
It's nothing to do with Arnold.
Sure. Really? Shut up!
Rita! Rita, stop it!
This I'm has sorry. Nothing to do with it either.
More about his father, actually.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with it. You might as well just play this one.
Congratulations. This is Max Boy Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you just won the DBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
You got it. You got it in.
Early.
Put it to bed.
Early in the week.
Arnold tells TV Guide he'll rely on the advice of his wife, NBC correspondent Maria Shriver, who's a Kennedy cousin and a Democrat.
And really, really handsome.
Arnold is a Republican, but she apparently wears the pants. Quoting again, she has to give the green light and feel comfortable with it because she moved away from Washington to get away from all that kind of stuff.
Didn't we a long time ago have that story that he doesn't let her wear dresses that she has to wear pants?
She can't wear pants.
Wow.
She has to wear a dress.
That's the way it is.
That's what I like to see, her legs and not in the pants that the men wear in the goofy colors.
I think we have a soundbite from Maria Shriver.
Oh, good.
Hello, Maria.
Wow.
Should I run for governor?
That's our alligator sound effect. Because she got the big jaw.
Big Kennedy jaw.
Yeah.
Meets the great teeth that are sharp and pointed.
Skeletor.
Well, this July, on cable or a satellite dish near you, the first gay dating show. Like ABC's The Bachelor, it's called Boy Meets Boy on the NBC-owned Bravo network. One male contestant and 15 men for him to choose from. And in a cruel twist, you'd only expect from the Fox network, what the contestant doesn't know is that some of the 15 men are straight, not gay. They're being paid to pretend they're gay. The producer says, this little...
Notice how quiet Mike and I are during this story as we figure out
riveted
what's politically correct to say. Should we say what we really
think?
That
was, we were both kind of riveted, weren't we?
Could we work anybody's name into this bit?
Did you hear the wheels turning?
The producer says, this little twist is designed to help the show snag an audience of more than just gays. Quoting him, this will be groundbreaking television. Bravo has another show planned for July called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. In that one, a team of gay men will counsel some fashion-challenged straight men. Help them dress better, I guess.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. Bring it on.
It'll be interesting.
Last night at the beginning of CSI, there's this guy, and he's tied to a bed face down, and his arms are tied to the bed, but his legs are tied, and... One of the cops says, doesn't look like it was forced entry. And David Caruso looks right at the guy's ass and says,
I don't know about that.
And they go right to the, you know,
they got that the music.
In a related story, Michael Jackson may be broke. According to a lawsuit from his financial advisors, Jacko is buried in debt and close to bankruptcy.
I don't have to pay. I don't have to pay. Why should I have to pay?
Catch the irony in this. Michael's earned about half, B as in boy, $1 billion in his lifetime. But he spent so much on building Neverland, making babies, fighting other lawsuits, and wild shopping sprees.
I don't have to pay on Michael Jackson.
He apparently has nothing left.
I don't have anything left.
Quoting one lawsuit, a ticking financial time bomb.
Tick, tick, tick.
Union Finance and Investment wants $12 million in fees and expenses, plus interest and punitive damages.
I'll get a loan from Mr. Peck.
That case goes to court next month.
Mr. Peck will give me a loan.
On your, what was that, your merry-go-round?
Mr. Peck was on my merry-go-round.
Gregory Peck.
Oh, no, he's dead.
Peckerhead.
Quoting a company official, the day of reckoning is near. He has little or no income. He lives off a line of credit.
Oh, no, I can't pay.
Yeah.
You might have to go back to being black.
No!
Tanya.
What happened?
Tanya Harding had nothing to do with the breaking of Liza Minnelli's kneecap. It happened when Liza tripped over a step at a hotel in Italy.
She was on a boat.
Bologna, Italy.
Liza.
Liza.
She slipped in Bologna.
Oh, no, baloney?
There she goes. There goes Liza with a Z.
O-S-C-A-R.
They say the 58-year-old will have a full leg cast for about a month.
Liza.
Wrong sound.
I like making Liza have a sound.
Liza.
Liza, I busted my kneecap.
And
my husband, David.
That's not the sound we're looking for.
There's my knee.
Where's the sound of my knee?
And although she's now unable to rehearse, her people say she will still go on with Luciano Pavarotti for a benefit concert
what
tonight.
What could be sitting
exactly
alone in your room?
Right, like
oh, dear, I've burned out my knees.
Still not the right song. Come here, the music plays.
Hey, ow, Eliza.
My knee.
Oh, dear me.
Where's my fag husband?
Put me in a full-leg cast.
He's on Showtime.
Eliza.
Here we go. In what was described as an extremely close race, Ruben may have beaten Clay on American Idol thanks to misdialing. Older phones...
I used to date her.
Misdialing?
Hot. First name, Speed.
Misspeed dialing.
Right. Yes.
Older phones don't have Q's on them. New phones do have Q's, but a lot of people mistake the Q's for O's, and there were a lot of O's in the phone numbers for the voting. Synergy Communications of Evansville, Indiana, handled more than 240,000 misdialed calls in the 3.5-hour voting period last week.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
Company says it got 169,000 votes for Clay, and
this is Sam Huff.
72,000 votes for Ruben.
This is Sam Huff.
We'll find out because Sam's probably the guy that misdialed.
Might have misdialed.
This is Sam Huff.
Well, properly dialed, that would have given Clay another 97,000 votes in a race decided by 130,000 votes.
I love to play in the mud.
Fox.
This is Sam Huff.
Fox says it can't be responsible for people who dial the wrong number.
Yeah, see, here's the deal.
This is Sam Huff.
They're absolutely right. Incidentally, in 3 hours, something like 20 million people were calling.
Right.
Of course people are going to dial the wrong number.
Yeah, you're going to have people that are speed dialing or like dialing over and over again. It's screwing up. Yeah,
and not to repeat the already repeated, but didn't they both get recording contracts?
Yes. Yeah, they're both fine, and I think that's... I got the impression they were all the contestants in the final 10, at least, were very well prepped as to the fact that, hey, your life is not over,
because
they're all going to be part of the tour. They all seemed happy, and I think they handled them psychologically. It seems they handled them properly.
They have the 8 losers on TV at the beginning of the NASCAR on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Where they said... did they have the guy say, and now from Charlotte, it's the biggest race of the year. Let's go to your American
Idol. Prove it.
Fat Albert. But the other 8 are there, and they're doing a very bad read.
Right.
And all of them together in unison. We want, because you know that guy D.W. says boogity, boogity, boogity.
Right,
at the
right.
At the beginning of the race. Hi, we want to say we love NASCAR. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Like, awful.
Right.
Really awfully done. That none of them...
But they're probably still getting paid, and, you know...
That's the thing. They had
and they were nobodies beforehand.
American Idol logo there. And
there are no losers on American Idol. Whitney Houston has gone to Israel looking for inspiration for her next Christmas album. Quoting a spokeswoman...
Does it come in a baggie?
Quoting her spokeswoman, she's a spiritual woman and wanted to come here and touch the land and be around the saints of Dimona.
Yeah.
That's another one. And that guy there, her husband, Bobby Brown, arrived there Sunday. They're staying with the Black Hebrews. There's a group called the Black Hebrews.
Where did she go again?
Israel.
Well, this is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
And
hello, Whitney. Welcome to Israel. There you go, Whitney. I hope you can sing and your voice comes back. What is that white powder under your nose? That's not a jelly donut from Hanukkah.
Whitney and Bobby staying with the
Black... This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Staying with the Black Hebrews, a group of nearly 2,000 African-Americans who followed a Chicago bus driver to the Promised Land several decades ago. They now believe they're descendants of one of the lost tribes of Israel. Interest group, they don't eat meat, and they're polygamists.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And now Whitney and Bobby are among them. Oh, my. Yeah. Bobby's happy about that.
Hello, Dad. What time am the early bird
special? How about did weather?
Oh, I want to talk about how sick I am.
That's all the old Jewish people do that.
I would like you to have this Whitney Houston out of here. She seems to be under the influence.
We got to break, but stay right there.
I will.
Oh, hold on.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
All right, Rob. We played like 1,000 times today. Rob just tapped me on the shoulder. Play it
again for me, please.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Jizzy.
the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hold on a second. We have the wrong thing there.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
What do we do, Planet Crackpot?
Yeah, right.
Is anyone listening?
Here again is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Sharon Bush is not only a nice thing to do, it's Bruce the name Bush. Of the president's ex-sister-in-law.
Hey, you just made a joke.
Sharon Bush.
Sharon Bush.
And Sharon is now out in the cold after settling with her husband, Neil, who dumped her after 23 years to be with a woman who used to be his mom's assistant.
There was once really a song called I Ain't Sharon Sharon.
Really? Who did it?
It wasn't about your mom, Robbie.
No.
It was by Jim Stafford. I swear to God.
I am Sharon Sharon.
Yeah. It's one of those, My Girl Bill things.
Yeah, exactly. Jim Stafford. Well, the president's brother, Neil, apparently doesn't have a lot of cash, so Sharon will get half of what's left after the mortgage is paid on their $1.5 million house. So where will she live? The kids' grandparents, George H. and Barbara Bush, will buy them a small house to live in until they can get back on their feet.
Come here, darling. Welcome. We'll help you even though you don't get along with our son.
Have grandma.
Yeah.
Grandma.
Hello.
Why do you have a beard?
Welcome to my house.
You look like Santa Claus.
Pearls, anyone? Pearls.
Have faith in Bruce. Never underestimate the power of Bruce. Bruce Almighty knocked The Matrix out of the number one spot at the movies over the long holiday weekend. The new Jim Carrey movie opened with a take of over $86 million. The Matrix was a distant second with $46 million. That's down 60% from last week, which means...
You know, I I'm not really getting into the whole thing that Mike and I did about that, but I pray that someday, if I ever get a project going, you know, I mean...
Like a movie or...
You know, something real.
It could happen.
Not like,
it could happen.
Not like our radio show, but I mean something real.
Something real.
Or even with our radio show. Let's say that... For God's sake, it made $47 million.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying, oh, that's it.
Disappointment.
Boy, that's bad. You know?
Well, it cost $150 million to make.
Okay, so they've already made...
That and that much more again, probably.
Already.
Total.
Yeah, they made like, how much, 120, 130?
No, it made $96 million or something.
Well, over 3 days, but over the 5 days, it made 130.
So it's made 130 million total.
No, that was on the first weekend.
Yeah, it's into the 200 million range now, and we're approaching three. The Matrix...
Well, now, Buzz, hold on. Now you're really exaggerating. It's not...
Yeah, you're wrong.
Well,
those are not the right numbers.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Just do the math. 130 and 40 is about 170 million.
I heard it made about 790
million. Reloaded took in $45.6 million over the 4-day weekend. Here it is. A whopping 50% plunge from its $91.8 million debut. The Matrix Reloaded has collected $209.5 million since its powerhouse debut on May 14th. So, you can add all day, but the figure is $209.5 million.
Mike, see, what you're reading is misleading, because USA Today gives you the 4-day weekend total for Memorial Day.
And it's USA Today.
And they also give you the total for the weekend.
$91 million for weekend one.
But, see,
$45.6 for
figure,
weekend two. Total box
hold
office,
on, hold on.
$209.5
million. Right, so you do the math there. USA Today's math is wrong if they're saying it made $90 million and $40 million. That doesn't add up to 200.
Well, that's the weekends.
Just
it's
the weekend
about every other night.
When you
so you add everything
takes.
Else, and it's 209.5 million.
Mm-hmm. So if it cost how much to make?
150. They made a $50 million profit.
But I would say
advertising
that mm-hmm. marketing.
Sure.
They're probably just now starting to make a little. Well, come on.
No, I
who
think.
Who are we kidding? They're going to make.
They're rich. They're rolling.
You know, listen. They got the video game out already.
I think that $150 accounts for all the crap they have to put into it.
They got the video game out already. They got the DVD that'll be out in 2 months because they got the third Matrix movie coming out in November. My only point in all of this is that. For anybody to say, oh, it only made $47 million
this weekend. I sit here and digest the numbers
it really is. You know, they call it an ungodly tumble, but you're absolutely...
47
million. Made $209 mm-hmm. million dollars already.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with our argument about if it was good or not good.
But they talk about whether a movie has legs and how it holds up in its second week, and the fact of the matter is, even though it's only $46 million,
yeah, I mean,
down,
they expected a lot more of it.
They did expect more. It's down 60% from the week before, which means people are not going back to see it again. They're not recommending it to others, and it also means that most everybody who wanted to see it saw it the first weekend.
Not that long ago, the definition of a blockbuster was $100 million.
Absolutely.
And now look at it.
The last time I checked, $46 million was real FU money.
Yeah.
So I mean, $46 million is F everybody. $46 million is okay. You want to run Donald Rumsfeld on Thursday? Good luck, because I'm going to be going number one and number two all over every piece of equipment that you have in this studio.
Yes, but they won't be giving us that money.
I know.
Yeah, so we have to honor the equipment.
I understand that.
There you go.
Nice
equipment. And, you know, besides that, so, you know, you start getting stuff like that dripping all around the studio, and that's what started SARS.
SARS!
Daddy Daycare was third with $18 million. X-Men 2 was fourth with $13 million. The In-Laws rounded out the top five with under $10
million. Oh, the In-Laws actually made the top 10.
Yeah, it did. It was number five with like $9 million. A paltry $9
million. Is that in USA Today?
I don't know.
Because I thought I looked in USA Today and didn't see the In-Laws.
No, what I'm seeing in USA Today, the In-Laws made $3 billion.
That's a lot of money.
That's very good. Well, the adventures of John Wayne Bobbitt continue. As if it weren't enough, his wife cut off his penis, leading him to a life of porn films and a police record. Now this, Bobbitt's disgruntled ex-manager, Robert Hayes, Yates rather, says he's got a homemade gay porn featuring Bobbitt and two other men. One scene supposedly shows Bobbitt tied to a bed while another man tickles him with a feather duster. The ex-manager wants to sell the video now while Bobbitt's in prison for stealing clothing. Yates says he'll use the money to open a film school for guys who want to learn how to capture celebrities having sex and without getting caught.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Man. There's apparently going to be a remake of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
No, you can't do that. You cannot improve on Gene Wilder.
Mike, they make remakes of everything.
I know, but that Willy Wonka, I mean...
Shall we press on?
Mr. Wonka, can't we sit down for a minute? The pace is
My dear lady, transportation has already been arranged. Behold the Wonkamobile. Thing of beauty is a joy forever.
He is Willy Wonka.
The dance is about to begin. Better grab a seat, they're going fast.
Can we walk?
If the good Lord had intended us to walk, he wouldn't have invented roller skates.
The brothers Warner have just hired the strange director Tim Burton to make Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
That is great.
You know, here's the thing, and I'm a fan of Tim Burton, but he's going to take Willy Wonka, and he's going to make it one of those Edward Scissorhands, dark,
weird
Batman and Penguin things.
It's like, it was my favorite book when I was a kid, too.
And, you know, the movie now, as it stands, is pretty dark.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a chicken being decapitated.
And Don is right. If he tries to make it dark, more evil, it's just going to be horrible.
It's dark, but it's got the Jay Leno factor. It's got bright colors.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that the Oompa Loompas will be
scarier
than they were in the movie.
They were bloody scary.
Wow. Well, you said you loved the book as a kid. Word is author Roald Dahl hated the 1971 version with Gene Wilder and the Sammy Davis song The Candyman. He did like the way Tim Burton directed his story James and the Giant Peach. So after years of negotiation and legal wrangling, Warner Brothers got the rights to Chocolate Factory and the blessing of the late author's estate.
Really, is that guy a fag?
I don't know.
It just sounds like now, as far as Mike's concerned.
James and the Giant's Peach sucked.
It's a children's story.
I know, but I didn't lie. Willy Wonka, it was perfect.
The classic story.
Roald Dahl was straight. He was married to Oscar-winning actress Patricia Neal.
Okay, now she was a fighter.
Here's my favorite scene, no lie, from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yes, this is deleted. You got to get the DVD to get this scene.
Charlie, nobody's watching. Charlie. That's good, Charlie.
Grandpa, this banana is fantastic.
Oh, Charlie. Charlie. In your wildest dreams, you could not imagine the marvelous surprises that await you.
Grandpa.
Oh, Charlie, you've done it.
Whee!
Thank you, JR, wherever you are.
Entertainer Bob Hope turns 100 years old day after tomorrow. We wish him the best.
Tribute on tomorrow's episode, being as Thursday we're being unceremoniously dumped for this Pentagon crap.
In sports, NFL Hall of Famer John Riggins will play a character named Mr. Herndon on the CBS daytime soap opera The Guiding Light, starting
about that?
May 9th.
Yeah, I read about it in the sporting news, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Riggins. Hello, Mr. O'Meara.
Mr. O'Meara, you don't get to be in the Hall of Fame without being that all be on there. Yes, it doesn't matter to me very much. It's when you inherit it, then John Riggin. Hey, George, let me see. I think what's going on here, me. It's great to be on this on television.
Hey, Mr. O'Meara.
Mr. O'Meara, television is television.
You think you're drunk? I'm drinking all night. You in the Hall of Fame, Mr. O'Meara.
Sorry you fell in the dark.
Finally, it's not just the SARS that's making life...
SARS!
Not just that that's making life tough for doctors in China's Guangdong province. An 85-year-old woman there has just successfully sued her neighbor for slander. The neighbor said the woman, who'd always claimed to be a virgin, had been having secret love affairs.
Yellow belly.
The 85-year-old woman went to a doctor...
I mean, she's a coward.
Right. Went to a doctor to have the doctor prove to the court that really is still a virgin. So he examined her, and she won her case.
He's done nothing to really make the boy laugh.
I know you can't. He's showing his teeth now. He's unhinging his effing jaw now.
He's just noodling that through his yellow belly.
Absolutely.
Oh, which reminds me. I know we're short on time, but I just had to say, my wife said something to me this weekend that blew me away. Either my wife is a real moron, or I did an awful job last week. Somebody called and was saying about call letters at radio stations. I said, just recently I figured out that JFK, WJFK, stands for John F. Kennedy.
You were joking.
Right, of course,
yes,
I was.
Of course.
She said to me this weekend, she said, incidentally, how stupid are you? And I went, pardon me? She said, you didn't know that JFK stood for John F. Kennedy? I said, hello? McFly? That was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, you didn't present it like a joke.
It was dry. It was dry the way it was so dry that there was a question mark.
People believed it.
Okay. Hello. Mm-hmm. Ain't that stupid?
Yeah, it was something about the way you did it. Something, and you don't do the dry thing very well. And it was, but I mean, I knew it.
Yeah.
I didn't dwell on it because I knew you knew that.
She like,
you had to
know. I mean, how stupid she thinks she lives with me. Jesus.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Well, no, Buzz, I'm sorry. I screwed up your China
story. Usually it means just effing kidding.
I screwed up your yellow belly story.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, she went to the doctor and he proved she was a virgin. And, you know, the last line was, there's no way the doctor got enough money for the exam he had to give.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Buzz Burbank. See, it was worth the wait, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah.
On the Don and Mike show.
Okay, sorry.
He knew that.
It's all about timing.
You knew
that. Listen to him when he does that. All right, we got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 SARS.
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 All right, Rusty.
See you, yellow belly.
See you, bye.
BM. Eater Tim Fabian.
Can we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.